Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
All right, ladies and germs, boys and girls, your sister, welcome to another. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks episode, I think it's 360 now, I think it is. I'm Phil.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Chappy.
Oh, boy. the crew is back. We're live on Rant, rantiumradio.com. Part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. I don't know why we're not on with the fucking Facebook gimmicks. I have no idea. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to try one more thing, and if not, they can go fuck their hand. Let's see. Stop the live stream there. Let's try it again. What's that?
I was about to say, it's saying recording on my end, but it's not.
I'm recording this for YouTube. I'm recording our video right now for YouTube, so we can start doing that. But
YouTube.
Yeah, man. Let's see how this goes. Let's see. Anyways, what's going on, boys?
That Choppy looks good over there. I tell
Doesn't
you,
he?
That,
he looks fucking
sure.
delightful. He looks
still. I got my Andre the Giant T-shirt going on. My nips are a little hard today. It's great.
well, we should say happy anniversary to you and the wonderful Bree, right?
Yeah, man.
How could we forget? Four wonderful years of marriage.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Yeah, I remember that day well.
Oh, we were polluted, all of us.
Yeah, Choppy came over on Sunday to see the new place, Jay, and we were talking, and I was telling everybody else, I'm like, you guys remember the day we had, and I wish Rob was listening. Rob is probably listening, but I'm going to go on. I don't know what the fuck is going on with the gimmick, but anyway, we got so trashed, man. It was awesome. We didn't have to go too far, you know, because we were at the Chad, where's that place? It's on South Avenue, right over there by the hotel.
It's the coach's ballroom at the Hilton.
Yeah, man, that shit was dope. Shit was dope.
I had two friends' weddings back to 2 years in a row, same date at the same place. October 19th. I'll never forget. I don't know anybody else's date, but for some reason that's stuck in my head. October 19th.
You know what's the worst thing? About my wedding was the fucking heat wave that was going on that day.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Yeah, it was.
Well, we are in June.
It was dumb. For some reason, though, like it wasn't that hot until Choppy's wedding. Like June was pretty good to us that year, and then all of a sudden it became, I don't know what the fuck happened.
It was stupid hot. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was pretty hot that day.
God's like, you know what? Choppy sweats normally, you know, on a normal day. You know what? Best day of his life. Let me fucking reign supreme on this one.
What a dick he was that day.
What a heel. God with the heel turn.
God has a sense of humor sometimes, I'll tell you.
He sure does.
How was everyone's week?
Good. Very good.
It wasn't bad. I'm just still getting antiquated with the apartment. You guys would be proud of me, man. I built another piece of furniture today.
Hey, now.
I built a microwave cart. Yeah.
So the other day when I went to Phil's house, he was telling Fallon about me building this table with him that's in the studio C. And he was like, yeah, Choppy just goes in there. He's like, hey, I go up to him and I'm like, hey, Choppy, do you need the instructions? I'm like, get the fuck out of here with these instructions. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. I start putting everything together and then I kept telling Phil, hold this, hold that. I got this.
Yeah. Exactly. I do. I tried to do the same thing. I built a trundle with a table for kids, and we were looking at the instructions really quick. I was like, I don't need these instructions. I was like, fuck these instructions. 10 minutes later, I'm like, open up that fucking instructions. I was like, I can't find the first piece we need to deal with here. You try.
I think I think IKEA is Lego for adults. It literally is. I look at that shit. I'm like, this has got to be for fucking children.
Yeah.
What the fuck puts these things together with instructions? But it is what it is. But I tell you right now, I got to give props to Philly. Yep. I tell you, that kitchen table's pristine. It looks good. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was pretty good.
Guys, yeah, I'm getting messages. I'm sorry. The Facebook thing's not working. I have no fucking idea what's going on. I'm still trying to fix it as we speak. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It sounds like a them problem.
He says,
"Go to the rant. We're live on the rant.
We are live on the rant. A part of Shining Wizards with Father Dog Satellite Media.
Powdered sugar on there, and you're
good to go." I love how Choppy just goes into full promo mode right there, staring at the camera. Go to the rant.
Go to room 806 at the Marriott, and we're gonna have a good time, ladies. Whether you have cobwebs or swabwebs, it's all good to go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
That is awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, I did that, and it looks pretty good in here. I'm trying to – it's pretty much 90% done the way I wanted it to be.
Good.
Yeah, man, I'm trying, man. I really am. I'm trying.
Hey, listen, I gotta break my ass and get over there now. Now that, you know –
You should come over Sunday, like, man. You should come over Sunday.
It is backlash.
And it's Hammer's birthday tomorrow, so we're probably going to celebrate on Sundays. I just spoke to him. He's coming over.
The greatest wrestling match of all time is being advertised. How could we miss that motherfucker?
That's the greatest wrestling match? Oh.
Yeah,
the
man.
Greatest wrestling match?
The greatest wrestling match of all time.
I saw Edge and Randy Orton in their primes when they had their best wrestling matches, and they were okay. They weren't stupendous. They weren't spectacular. They were good. Now, for Vince to say the greatest wrestling match of all time, eat a bag of shit. Sorry.
Randy Orton's a little bit in the news this week with his comments towards was it Tommaso Ciampa or was it just NXT in general?
No, dude, that shit was funny, bro.
Yeah,
I'm a Ciampa guy, but that shit was fucking hysterical, yeah. Dude. He called it the NXT matches knee slappers.
do you think that was all a work?
It's a work.
Yeah.
I think it's all a work. Yeah. All I agree. I agree too.
I think that Ciampa and may I also say that Ciampa and Adam Cole are definitely main roster bound sooner than later.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. I know Ciampa says he doesn't want to go to the main roster per se, but at the end of the day, is it really his decision?
Well, this is the thing is he's only going to be working Raw, either Raw or SmackDown, because they're pretty much doing shows out of the Performance Center, so they've never left Florida ever. Yeah. Ciampa lives in Florida, so why not put him on the Raw roster for now or SmackDown, whatever you want to do,
Yeah,
exactly. I'm okay with it. I think it's going to be good. I mean, Him and Randy are going to put some phenomenal matches on. I think so. It's going to be good.
It's going to be great, as Choppy would say.
It's going to be great, people.
It's going to be great.
I by the way, Phil, I love the background. I love how if you move a certain way, the microphone just blends in with the background. It looks like you're talking into nothing, and then all of a sudden a microphone appears.
No, it looks like he's talking into a turnbuckle throwback's dick.
That's it's like it an O.
I love it. Oh, my God.
Oh, Philly. I love Philly. I don't care what anyone says.
Thanks, pal.
I mean Philip, not the city of Philly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Philly. Philly could suck it.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry. Spit that out.
Sorry. Although the last time I went to Philly, I had a fucking great time. Actually, the last few times I went to Philly, I had a great time. But that Philly could suck. That's a New York City in me. I have to say that.
The city of Philadelphia is great. It's the fucking people that live there.
Yeah, it's the history of the city is great. It's just the cesspool of people that are in there.
The cesspool. That's great stuff.
All right, I think we're getting live on Facebook.
No, we got it.
Yeah,
we're getting there.
You see it?
Hold on.
I just tagged you guys. Just tagged you guys. Listen, with something.
Jay, don't do that. You're making me blow my load over here, all excited and shit, and then all of a sudden there's nothing there. Get him back.
It says preview. Oh my god.
I know.
Philip, it's okay. It's
all right though. I mean, we're recording. Everything's fine. I mean, it's gonna be great. He says.
I remember this one time where Phil was getting really, really annoyed because things were not working, and we were in the basement. We were in Studio B for basement. So, anyway. And then all of a sudden he was like, "This is fucking bullshit." I was like, "Philip, it's gonna be okay, comrade. It's gonna be great.
He drops the government name too, Jay. It was like,
yeah, Phil.
I was like, Philip, don't worry about it. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great. He says.
Sure enough. It was great.
It wasn't bad.
There was a couple of fuck ups in certain areas of the show, but it was okay. We ran a show and it was great.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It's gonna be great.
It wasn't bad, man.
It was not.
It was not bad at all.
It was fine.
I'm gonna try this again. I'm diligent, man. People messaging me and
I'll tell you right now, when it comes to diligence and determination, that's Philip right there.
Phil's got it in spades.
Yes. Comrade Raja is great.
Comrade Raja, he says. You'll never let me live that motherfucking down, would you?
Yo, my wife, I forgot what it was. I think it was like a...
She sent me an invitation for something.
An invitation. She put the family...
Bring it on Facebook.
Family.
What's that? We're live on Facebook now. Hi, everybody.
Oh, you're the greatest.
So go ahead, Chop. You finish your story now that you done did it.
So my wife sends the Raja family an invitation, and then Phil's like, "Who the fuck is the Raja family?" And my wife's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and I'm gonna call him Comrade Raja from now.
Comrade Raja.
If he was part of the vocal, if he was part of the call offs, he would be Raja Koloff.
Jay, I asked Choppy to pop by the place today, so I needed to put some stuff in his storage. And we're outside my complex, and we load the car. And he goes, "All right, Comrade Raja." He goes, "What would Nikolai Volkov do?" So I salute him, and I start singing the Russian national anthem in the parking lot.
Can you do it a little bit? That's funny.
I'm telling you, man. When I was a kid, Cheeky Baby and the Volkov, they would incite riots, man. They were like the 80s version of the Dudleys. Anytime they go to a town, they would start their Russia number one, and then he goes, "I'd eat a number one," and he would spit on the floor. He would piss off like 18,000 New Yorkers, and they would throw shit at him. It would be
the best is when he would talk to Mean Gene.
Yeah, like, Gene Mean.
Good, you smart Jewish man.
You guys can't hear, but I'm going to play the intelligent Jew clip. Hold on a minute. Here it is.
I respect you, Gene Mean. You're an intelligent Jew businessman.
I actually heard a little bit of
it. You did, huh? Okay.
But like I said, like that. But that's the old school heat. That's what.
Oh yeah.
As soon as he walked into the ring, you knew right away. Oh, I'm not cheering for this guy. Like, you just knew instantly. And that's, like, I think it's kind of a little bit lost nowadays with wrestling, you know, a little bit from here and there. But, like, especially him and Volkov coming to the what were their names? The Axis Powers, the Allied Powers, whatever the fuck they were.
They were just Sheik and Volkov.
Oh, I thought they had a name.
I don't know if they gave any names, but they were fucked. We called them communists.
I think if people weren't so sensitive back in the day, I think Sheiky could have been a world champion one more time. He was so fucking entertaining.
Choppy, we weren't that sensitive in the 80s, just that Hulk Hogan came in. That's the only reason why Sheiky wasn't champion again.
They were like becoming more kid-friendly than anything else. Could you imagine if Sheiky Baby goes up to Gene Mean and says, "Gene Mean, you're a nice Jew boy. You're a
good, intelligent Jew.
You're intelligent Jew, you."
I tell you what, though. There was a club, men. I think I told you. I don't know if I told you the story already, but in my own neighborhood in Ridgewood, there was a men's clothing store, like an upscale one called Domino's. And I couldn't afford anything there, even as a kid. It was like the classy shit. It's like Westchester clothes, right? So I go in there one day. My mom wants me to get some kind of pair of shoes that I thought I can get, right? And what's up there, Mark from Detroit? In the ranch chat room. So I was like, and I saw these T-shirts that said "Russia sucks" on them. This was like 1985, and I was like, and at this point, I was portly. I was getting fatter than I normally would. I'm like, Mom, can I get this? And she looked at me. She's like, "Why would you even wear this, you idiot?" I was like, "What did you do?"
It's perfect.
And only because I was a wrestling fan. I was a fucking 10, 11 year old wrestling fan. I knew that Sheik and Volkov were bad, and no one liked them. You know what I'm saying? And USA Express was good, and Albano managed them. So I was an Albano mark at that point. So
I was only a fan of Albano when he did the Super Mario Brothers cartoon show.
It's Mario.
It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
And Super like, Show.
The Super Show.
You know what's funny? I vaguely remember that. Why is that ringing true in my head?
Because it came out when we were in kindergarten, fuckface. You
remember? He goes, fuckface.
You don't remember watching The Legend of Zelda, the cartoon show that was on there as well? It was great.
Did you ever hear System of a Down's Link song?
Yes,
Link, he come to town, to save the Princess Zelda. Yo, System of a Down does that. They do a cover of the Metro, that new wave song. It is so dope. It's on some kind of fucking awful movie soundtrack. But I digress.
When me and Phil went to Philadelphia to go watch NXT with the boys a couple years ago, he introduced me to that song, and then I introduced Philip to the famous Iron Sheik or Steve Carino.
That was in Philly.
Bro.
Jay, we played that for you when Steve Carino tells a story about Cheeky Baby.
Yes, yes.
Me and Phil were on the way to the arena.
We're on our way to Nick German's hotel room.
Yeah, we're on the way to Nick German's hotel room.
And we almost crashed a car.
We almost crashed the car, dude. We were in tears.
Nick's hotel was across the highway from the arena, the Wells Fargo arena, right? So you know how you have to, like, remember the old Meadowlands? You had to do that loop or off the highway. You had to go around. That's what we have to do in Philly. So Choppy's telling me this story, and I'm, dude, like, tears are coming down my face, and I look over and I'm wiping my face, and he's laughing. He's holding his face while he's driving. I'm like, oh my god, we're gonna die, dude. And then all night, and then Kathy Hummer showed up. We had a mossy of people that night, and I was like, yo, dude, that was like and then all night we kept referencing it, and then they went to get cheesesteaks. Me and Choppy had to go home, so we left, and we're in the car on the way home, and I'm like, Gene Mean, and just every like 20 minutes I'm pulling up the video on the gimmick, and we just we had a good laugh. It was really fun. It was really, really, really fun.
Oh, you know, good Jews out there with your cheapness
and you're running to Hollywood. Go the hell, Jew.
Apparently, Mean Gene was his best man at his wedding. I remember hearing that somewhere.
And what's fucked up is, I don't know if we talked about this on the air, but Ken Resnick was the ring announcer at that point, the backstage announce guy too. And because Carino references him in the video. So, of course, Choppy Facebooks him and is like, Ken, you remember this? And Ken has no recollection, of course.
Yeah, bullshit.
And this is like 18 years ago, and there's no fucking video of it. But I'm telling you right now, September... We're doing the convention in Freehold, right? We're doing Tommy Fierro's convention, right? And I know for a fact that Crowbar is going to be there.
Crowbar was there that night.
And he's already agreed to come on the show. So I'm either we're going to get him on the show before that, or get him on the show at the fucking convention.
Because
I gotta know the story on that. I'm not saying Carino's a liar, but I want Devin Stone, Crowbar to confirm that Killer Ken was there. So,
you also want another perspective on this story now that the story is out there.
It's
you
funny
want another
shit.
Set of eyes.
It's funny shit. And on top of that, I'm 60% sure that even Ken Resnick is going to be there. So Choppy's going to have to leave the fucking the table for a little while and do his correspondence report for the day.
As Jay gets
bumpers for the show with his new microphone. But yeah, he's shit starrer. Exactly. Choppy's doing the shit starrer. Mark says he's moving in a couple weeks. Dude, I just moved. It was a shit show. I don't want to move anymore for another year. Hopefully 2 years. But I'm stuck here for a year anyway.
How about no years? How about just
sit in the clouds? How about that?
By the way, This just in, AJ Styles, the Intercontinental Champion.
Whoa!
Yeah! Tonight was the finals.
They just had a bond burner of a match.
Yeah, tonight was the finals.
Yeah, they just had a bond burner of the match.
AJ only has to win one more belt and he's Grand Slam Champion.
Hey, you know what? I saw a cool match before we started. How about the team of Sheamus? I'm not saying Sheamus. Cesaro and Nakamura.
Yes, I like that team.
They beat the New Day, and they're probably going to get a title shot.
What if they win the damn belts?
That's fucking... I like that.
I'm down for that.
I like that. I do.
Nakamura has been NXT champion, US champion, Intercontinental champion. If he wins the belts from New Day, why the fuck not? I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that at all.
I'm tired of Cesaro being Mr. Tag Team Guy. Give the guy a shot at the Intercontinental title, the US title again.
Hey, but Chop, if he's going to be a tag team, let him be one with Nakamura.
Combine those two together.
I mean, they just beat the New Day, you know?
They could, and not for nothing, they seem to be gelling really well together. I kind of like them together as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
But in respect to Cesaro's ability, I mean, the guy can go by himself.
Yes.
I remember when he was a Paul Heyman guy back in, 5-6 years ago? And he was on fire. I thought they were going to, give him the rocket strap, and for whatever reason, they stopped. He was doing really well.
Nice. Chat room is live. What's up, L Boogie, Mr. Rob Domingo, Shaylin. Check out Phil with the green screen action. Thank you, Richie.
Hell yeah!
Choppy posted a drag queen on a boat. He said, "Hey." Oh man!
I'm telling you, I'm not gonna lie. I like AJ as the Intercontinental Champion.
So do I
think
I prefer it.
I like this. I think this is a from where he was at WrestleMania, obviously we all knew he was going to do the job there, but this is going into SummerSlam now, like him having the belt. I'm not mad at this right now.
And here's the thing about, I'll tell you right now, AJ Styles, I'm saying it right now, one of the most decorated professional wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God. He won, think about this for a second. He's been NWA champion, the 10 pounds of gold. He won the 10 pounds of gold in TNA. He was a TNA world heavyweight champion. He was IWGP heavyweight champion.
Sure was.
WWE champion. And then on top of that, he's a TNA Grand Slam champion. And he's on his way to become a WWE Grand Slam champion as well.
Huh?
Deny the pedigree of this motherfucker.
Is anybody else an IWGP champion, WWE champion, NWA champion?
Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar.
Well, Kurt Angle was an NWA champion?
Yes, he was. When he won the King of the Mountain match and got the TNA the NWA title, and
then eventually I thought they were Impact then.
Oh, they didn't break away from the NWA at that point, Chop?
No, they were almost. He had gotten the title, and then they transitioned to the NWA to the TNA title, and
that way. Well, you know what? That makes sense because I know Christian was a NWA champion.
He was for
a little bit too. So yeah, it does. Makes sense then. Oh, so there you go. So Kurt Angle's, that's some rarefied air right there.
Hammer has a Christian action figure, and I gave him the NWA title to put on.
Hell yeah.
Back in the day, I did it. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your point. I didn't mean to cut
Well, listen, that's something that Christian can hold over Edge's. Like, Edge is, very decorated in his own right. 10-time champion, 11-time champion, Hall of Famer. If I was Christian, all I'd be like, yeah. I was the NWA champion. Were you ever the NWA champion?
And it's funny because he won't even acknowledge it.
He won't even acknowledge it because he says that TNA was a blip in the radar. It was really that big of a deal to him,
But it should have been though. Like he was able to prove that he's. But he was a draw, like in a sense.
Was
you know?
He edge, though? Was he really Edge though? Honestly,
I'm
not saying that he was not a great wrestler. He was, but was he Edge? No,
he definitely wasn't Edge.
He wasn't
but...
Edge. No, if he was so good, how come they didn't give him the WWE title when he went back?
Is that the
first time? Yeah, you're right.
Is that why he doesn't acknowledge it? Because they didn't think he was good enough when he came back, or he just doesn't want to?
When he went back in 2008, Christian won the ECW title twice, and then he won the World Heavyweight title, which is not really technically the V title.
Yeah,
got it.
You know?
Yeah.
Why do you think Mark Henry's not considered the first WWE black champion?
Mark Henry's birthday today. Somebody,
happy birthday, Mark Henry.
Yeah.
If he listens, happy birthday, my friend. I love the Hall of Pain, by the way. That was one of the best fucking.
Yes,
moments. It was.
That. Oh my God! I wish he didn't get injured though. He would have been so amazing. He would. I think he would have been held the title for longer than what he did.
I'm not mad at that at all.
Oh
yeah.
All right, so we got some news that we can use. Where do you want to go first? We have a plethora of news, and we have to do predictions for Backlash.
I think that we should do AEW because I saw the show. I saw both shows. I was very, very impressed with both shows.
Oh, so we're doing AEW because you actually watch TV this week?
You want to know something? Eat a bag of dicks, because I watch wrestling every Wednesday. I don't watch Mondays and Fridays.
It took you fucking 5 years. Good for you, buddy.
Hey, lick my taint, bitch.
Speaking of taint licking, so July 10th we're good for the anniversary show.
Sweet.
So I don't know if you guys want
to lock it in.
I don't know if we're gonna do the whole Zoom thing again, but we're gonna have some Patreons on. We're gonna have our Takeover Club kids on, and we're doing Great American Bash 1990. So it should be interesting.
I can't wait for that.
It's gonna be fun. Better than the one tonight, I can tell you that.
Better than the one 10 years later.
So, all right, Chop, since you got into this, I tell you what, it drew 677,000 viewers this week.
Again.
Yeah.
Ratings? I don't give a fuck about ratings.
Well, you know, Ratings McGee hasn't been on for a minute, so I just want to take his. So, Chop, this is all you. One of your boys headlined this week. Your boy from Private Party.
Oh, yeah, he did
Mark
good.
Quinn.
How good did he with Cody? I thought he was fantastic, right?
Well, let's get into the matches, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, I forget the order of the matches, but I saw that it was I was very impressed with the Revival against the Butcher and the Blade.
That's the only match I missed because I was coming home from work.
Yeah, was a good match.
I am not a fan of the Butcher and the Blade, but they had a phenomenal match with the Revival.
I am a fan of Bunny though.
Who?
Yes,
Bunny.
She's not with them anymore.
She's with QT Marshall.
Yes.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
For some reason, yeah.
They just changed her gimmick. I don't know why.
Oh, shitlock.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, nice little shitlock.
I love that after the match, the Bucks come out and fake Revival. And they were like, hey, just so you know, we haven't been formally introduced yet. I'm Matt Jackson. This is Jackson. We're the best tag team of the decade.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Just do that. Then Kenny Omega and Adam Page come out. And then they're trying to, like, break up, you know, be nicey-nicey with everyone. And then the Butcher and the Blade come out, and it becomes a little bit of a brawl. And then it was done really, really nicely. And then I found that during the match, Tully and Arn are taking notes. While Sean Spears is behind Tully, kind of just like looking at Tully doing what he's doing. They're teasing this like breakup between Tully and Sean Spears. I think it's a fucking swerve, and I'll tell you why. I think, call me crazy, call me stupid, whatever the fuck you want to call me. A lot of things you can call me. I predict this. You're going to see the Revival or FTR, whatever you want to call them, join up with Cody Rhodes and fucking and Sean Spears, and you're gonna see this new fig, this four right here.
Oh, I don't know. That's bold.
Mark my fucking words.
Ooh.
That's QT Marshall.
No, not QT Marshall. Sean Spears.
Oh, Spears.
Sean Spears, FTR, and Cody Rhodes, and then you're gonna have this right here.
QT Marshall would be the Paul Roma of a new Four Horsemen.
Is the fucking Mike Sharp of AEW.
Wow. Ring that bell.
and then this whole thing where, you know, Cody's trying to be it's getting nauseating now because I can't stand Cody as a good guy. I hate it. So
I'll get used to it, buddy.
Like, and you know what's another thing I can't stand is the Inner Circle. I do not.
What?
Oh,
come on, dude. You got to be crazy.
Disagree.
Come on.
Chris Jericho is the best thing about the Inner Circle. Everyone else, they don't look right as a group. They don't look like a group. They don't look like a faction. They look like a stable that's run by Bobby the Brain Heenan, where they have a hodgepodge of wrestlers, and they don't look like a fucking group. They look like a bunch of farm animals.
We'll call them the Hager family instead of Heenan family.
The Hager family. They don't look like a faction. I'm sorry.
I,
don't.
I, I would find it hard pressed not to agree. I kind of agree. They don't look like a faction, but I also have to disagree because I like them. I like the five of them together. I think they're actually really, really good.
They don't look right. First off, Hager is a fucking terrible wrestler and he can't talk.
We definitely can't talk.
Jericho is money by himself. He does not need a fucking crew.
You don't like Sammy Guevara though, dude? He's a stud.
He's awful.
No, he's not. He's a stud. You're bugging, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think he's so good. He hasn't found his niche yet. That kid's going to be a player.
Fuck him, dude.
You're bugging.
The only thing
Pride and Powerful. I can't wait for these.
The only
guys.
Two things that are good about that group is Chris Jericho and Santana Ortiz. That's the only thing that's good.
Former
about
members of Team Pazuzu.
Yes. So I support Team Pazuzu. And if Chris Dickinson and Jaka go over there to AEW, they should put those four fuckers together. They're great.
I just watched the best of Chris Dickinson from Beyond Wrestling on.
Yes.
I got a free subscription to that. It's a trial for the IWTV, Internet mm-hmm. Wrestling Television, and they're bringing Big Japan to this thing, and they have a bunch of Japan independents, and they have Combat Zone and Beyond, and they had the best of Chris Dickinson. And I tagged him on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm like, dude, we're watching you, baby. And he fought the Daisuke from the legend guy from Old Japan. I forgot his last name already. He fought. The matches were against him. Was against Eddie Kingston, which is a good. There's a bunch of matches. It was pretty good, man. I enjoyed that. But I'll tell you right now, Chris Dickinson needs to be on television.
Chris Dickinson should have been signed 5 years ago. He's that fucking good.
He's that good.
Yeah, I agree.
He at the very least. You know,
not because he's from Staten Island, not because he was on the show. Because
he's a good heel.
Nah, he came on the show a bunch of years ago, and he was a nice guy.
The Dirty Daddy,
103-04, baby.
He's a good heel, man. I like him.
Yeah,
he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And then the fact that he was with Drew Gulak with Catchpoint, even better. I love him.
Yeah, he's.
I hope to God he gets signed.
He needs a contract, man. He's even so
at the very least like an impact or something.
Go to Impact because Impact is really good now. I saw it this week. That was good.
I didn't see Impact. You want to talk about it for a few minutes?
The triple threat between Ken Shamrock, Sami Callihan, and fucking Michael Elgin, dude.
Wow.
Fucking 55-year-old Ken Shamrock flies over. He runs across the ring, flies over the top rope on top of fucking Callahan and Elgin. When did you ever see fucking Shamrock leave his feet? Ever in the WWF?
Not in the late 90s.
No, he is a fucking machine. What happened to Shamrock all of a sudden? Now he decides to fucking jump out of nowhere at 55 years old. And then Michael Elgin, if that man does not get the fucking world title at Slammiversary, it's a fucking crime, dude. That guy is money. Money. He should have been world champion a long time ago. And also, they confirmed that Tessa Blanchard will be at Slammiversary defending the world title against Elgin. I believe it was Elgin.
Wasn't Eddie Edwards, was it?
Eddie Edwards. Yeah. Elgin, Eddie Edwards, Ace Austin, and I forget, I guess the other guy's Trey, or I forgot the other guy's name, but.
Is the North, Choppy, is the North still there?
The North are still tag team champions.
I like those guys.
They're the longest reigning tag team champions. The North is fantastic.
I like Ethan those guys.
And Josh Alexander are great. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
I actually like Falaba and TJP as well.
Falaba is fantastic.
Yes.
I've been telling people for the longest, the guy is 300 something pounds and moves so quickly. He's agile. And him and TJP together, money. Love him.
Yeah. I like that too, but
they're great.
You can't go against the Northern. I know FTR talked about facing them as well. I think it was on Jericho's podcast that I like this idea of an openness, like they can kind of bounce around from here and there.
Fucking dope would it be to be revived?
Great,
the fucking NWA and take on fucking what the guy's names?
Cat just ate a spider.
Oh, nice.
Ew.
Imagine FTR going up against the guys from the NWA. I forgot the name of the team. They're they're with Magnus's boys.
Magnus.
Yeah. What's the name of his crew?
Something business. Strictly business.
Strictly business. Vacuum. Those two mooks. Those guys would be great.
I love those mooks, Latimer and what's his face?
Latimer. There you go. Latimer.
Tommy,
and
Bram. That was Bram. The wife
Bram
beater.
Bram and the other guy.
The wife beater. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's the wife beater?
He beat up. That's why him and Charlotte got divorced. He used to beat her up.
Oh, Bram did.
Bram. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I drafted those two guys in my in that fantasy draft with the Wizards. They're one of my tag teams. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not bad.
You know who else you vet? You know else who you drafted? You drafted Imperium. I love that.
That was for you, baby. The current NXT tag team champion. You wanna, good segue.
Hell yeah.
Look at you doing segues. It took you 5 years. You want to do NXT review or what?
So, Jay, did you see NXT by any chance?
I did see NXT.
What did you think of the ending?
I love it. I love it. I'm hoping it's not too early yet, because you're kind of pushing Karrion Kross as a heel per se. But now are you pushing? Is Adam Cole now a babyface? That's
how about
my.
This? How about this?
How about nobody cares about that?
How about nobody gives a shit if he's a heel or a babyface?
It's just gonna be a good match.
Falling through everybody.
I kind of Well, I mean, listen, and I love Adam.
My
Cole.
Fucking words. This you see this keyboard? I'm about to break this fucker.
It's a $4 keyboard, you fucking mook.
He's gonna go New Jack on that keyboard right now.
Mark my words. In a year. Mark my words, in a year, and I'm fucking Chopstradamus when it comes to this shit. In 1 year, I guarantee you that him, not the God himself, I mean Cross, will be going up against Brock fucking Lesnar and main eventing a pay-per-view.
Fallon says.
I believe it. Fallon,
that motherfucker is legit.
Choppy's on fire. I'm reading the chat. Phil, Danny says, Danny from Cooking in Brooklyn. Shout out to Danny, by the way. They're all at Fallon's house fucking having a barbecue. Danny says,
I believe it.
To tell you Bob Backlund's chicken wing. Danny's a big Macho Man, Mark. We get him on the show. Him and Chop.
If I were ever open up a restaurant, I would definitely have Fallon just name all the fucking dishes as wrestling dishes.
Yeah. She emotionally invests in every character now. She's fucking like, you got to see, she'll talk about it at her house. And me and her brother just look at each other and smile like.
How much of a marker is a brother though?
Her brother's but not as bad as her, man. She's invested. Like this is my fault. I basically, you know, one trip to Philly and then I gotta watch some wrestling every fucking week for the last several months and she's hooked, so it's like ridiculous.
You watch Monday Night Raw too?
We do. Well, because honestly the last couple of months I've been working till 5 o'clock. Well, not anymore, but I'm working my regular shift, but I'll come home after like, you know, between 8:30 and 9. Listen, it's background noise, and it's still – I feel not that I'm obligated to watch it or anything like that, but you got to understand something. First of all, there's no sports on right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Let alone, yeah.
So, and I'm not fucking – I'm not going to come home at 9 o'clock at night and get into a movie when I'm going to bed in like an hour and a half. So I'm like, I don't want to watch a movie. I'm too tired. So I use it as background noise. We watch it. We fucking chill out, whatever. And sometimes you get a gem. You'll get her yelling at fucking what's his face? Seth Rollins for an hour and a half because she hates him.
Yeah.
And then she's like fucking, you know, when the black people go to the movies and they fucking yell at the screen, don't go in there, Denzel. That's her. She fucking yells at the fucking screen. You know? So, you ever go to a movie theater? Yeah.
That's a Mark right there.
She's a Marky McMarcus, and she admits it too. I don't care. Listen, but I emotionally invest in the show because it's on. It's wrestling. I can't turn wrestling off. I watched AWA Superstars today. It's a terrible fucking show. It was Greg Gagne defending the international TV title against Brian Knobbs. I said, wait a minute. He defends that TV title on TV somewhere else besides Las Vegas? At the fucking Showboat? It was awful. It was awful. It was an awful fucking TV show on the network.
So let me guess, Greg Gagne won that one?
He won by disqualification. You know Jerry Sag. This is when the Nasty Boys didn't have the fucking... this is when they wore like the King Kong Bundy fucking onesie. You know?
Yeah.
So, but they were terrible. Oh, I hate the Nasty Boys. But Kurt Hennig was champion. He fought some dildo. I forgot his name. Killer or something. And then he interviewed Baron Von Raske. Mind you, this is 1989. Yeah. Baron Von Raske got the fucking Sam Shaw porn mustache. You know?
No.
I call it the Dexter. I call it the Dexter.
Dexter Loomis?
Yeah, he looked like he could be in a fucking 70s porn. You know?
Nice segue there, partner. Good, nice segue. Like
that's what I do, bro. I'm a host of a podcast.
How awful is Sam Shaw?
Oh, I was going to ask you about him.
Oh.
Once again, disagree. I like it. No way. I'm standing on this one. I think
you sound like Deontay Baker now, bro. You're like Mr. WWE, Mr. Positivity.
Oh, leave Deontay. leave Deontay alone, man. Leave Deontay alone. He's a fucking. He's a good kid. He's a good kid.
Yeah, he likes to make everything simmer into dog shit. Fuck
no. No way. It's Dexter Lumis. At first I wasn't sure what to make of it. I'm slowly starting to get into it. The only thing I wish was around was Kyle O'Reilly wasn't injured, because I think this would be great.
He's injured? He's injured?
I think he's out injured, yeah.
He wasn't coming back because of COVID.
I thought he was out injured, so. Okay. But,
sounds about right.
That's a match I would love to see, is Dexter, because his in-ring style, I'm really, you know, I'm not really sold on it, but the idea, like that, the character I like, so I like to see what it kind of go further.
Is he some creepo?
He's like Dexter, obviously, but not killing people per se. Just creepy. Just turn the creepiness up to 11 a little bit.
I can't invest, man. I can't. You know, I can't. Sold. He has nice. He draws nice. He has pretty pictures. Other than that, he's
zero interest.
He draws characters. He does, like, you know those guys on 42nd Street and 7th Avenue? They draw the fucking pictures of the cartoon characters of you and your girlfriend when you walk in the streets.
They suck.
He does. They don't.
The caricatures?
Yeah, the caricatures. Chubby, why are you? You're such a hater, dog.
Me?
No. Merv Griffin. Yeah, you, dude.
I'm a lover of good shit, not terrible shit, okay?
All right, so Karrion Kross, obviously the next opponent for Adam Cole.
How dope was he at the pay-per-view?
We'll talk about the pay-per-view real quick. Before we get to the pay-per-view.
I
just want to get into, how about Finn Balor calling out Keith Lee?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the only title he hasn't held.
And the tag team titles.
He wasn't tag champs?
No, he won the Dusty Classic with Samoa Joe, but he never won.
The singles title he hasn't won. But how about the
I like Keith Lee going against I was just going to call him Prince Devitt again.
Is he
the prince? Yeah.
Don't call him. He is the prince.
He is the prince. I love it. You know, Keith Lee going against Balor, because I just now it's that's a match we haven't seen in NXT, and I think now, you know, it would be a good segue for him to kind of lose the belt and then kind of ascend a little bit, maybe go against Adam Cole. I don't know how you get there, but That's not my job.
I'm confused. I was under the impression that he was going up against fucking Walter for the UK title, and all of a sudden now he's going for the North American title. What are they doing?
I think this whole thing, this last 2-3 months, I think there was a thing called COVID-19. I think that kind of halted a lot of plans with these English guys. You know.
Whoa. Listen. We got a big time race war going on in here. You calling them English guys? The fuck is the matter with you?
They're from Johnny Old England.
After the show, we're gonna have a conversation.
Oh no, we haven't had a conversation in a while.
We're gonna have to have a sit down meeting with human resources and get this all finagled out. Okay?
Hold on, Jay Boogie. How big is your fucking beer bottle, dog? What is that? A fucking 40?
It's a Steel Reserve. Oh. What are you talking about?
It's a regular.
You got the gimmick in there. I thought you were ordering like a 40, like a private stock.
What are you drinking? Mad Dog?
Mad Dog 2020.
Magic Hat. My Magic Hat and my non-spill coaster.
I found my Justice League really coasters.
Oh my god.
There's a lot of electronics going on over here. I can't spill my beer.
We got to get you a messenger bag.
I already got the beard.
Yeah,
we're gonna get you a messenger bag, and we'll get you a nice little small puppy, a Yorkie maybe.
And put 4,000 holes in your jeans.
Yeah.
We'll go to fucking Goodwill and get him some one of those jeans.
And get him a fucking Whole Foods tote bag, you fucking faggot.
Yeah.
Anyway. The pay-per-view was good. I enjoyed the pay-per-view. The
pay-per-view was excellent. I loved it. The backlot brawl, you know, I it's starting to, like, they're doing the editing thing. I liked it. I didn't really care for the rest of UE to come out personally. That was my, you know, I liked Adam Cole to win, obviously, wanted him to win anyway. But I wonder what they do with the Velveteen Dream now. That's the next question, is where does he go from here?
I don't know. I mean, they'll probably keep him in there for a little while.
Who knows? Maybe him and Dexter would be a tag team and they go for the tag team titles. Who knows?
Oof. That's true, too.
What do you call that team, Chop? Dream Creepy?
Yeah, Creepy
Dreams. Or Creepy Dreams?
Creepy Dreams.
How about Wet Dreams?
Listen, Don Tony had the best name, Black Coffee, with R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. That was a fucking good name, man. That was a good name.
Man.
But you don't do BLACK, you do BLAQUE.
Yeah. Speaking
of Don Tony, I messaged Kevin Castle this week, and I just want to congratulate him for cross mentioning him on that cameo.
Oh my god!
And I was like, I pretty much said, I was like, "Hey, Kev, I'm sorry for bothering you. I don't know if I am or not, but I just want to let you know, man. I just want to wish you and DT continued success, man. That was really cool that cross mentioned you guys. And
yeah,
so on and so forth.
He name drops us. Cool video. He name drops us all the time too.
And yeah, Kev is awesome.
Kev's awesome. Kev. We got to have Kev back on the show.
Yeah, he was really good last time. Last time we had him on the show, he was fantastic.
Yeah, we got to get him back on the show. I enjoyed the pay-per-view, though, man. It was fun. It was nice. Yeah. You know, I'm excited.
The cross match. I mean, not even the cross match, too. I actually wanted to talk about Io Shirai.
How about Shitlocker, Raw Baby Mama?
Very deserving.
I was shocked.
We were both shocked. Choppy looked at you like, what?
Rob's future ex-mama right there.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, I don't see her with the big ass. I'm like, you haven't seen her in person. She's got a big shit locker, I'm telling you. So.
But, yeah, I like her. I like her with the belt. I think that was the best thing for, because now you can just put Charlotte back on Raw and let her stay up there. You know, bringing her down to NXT. I don't think it moved the needle that much. I think that's fair to say.
Everyone keeps saying bringing them back down to NXT. It's like, it's not a demotion.
It's not a demotion, but, you know, there's no need for her to be on Raw and then be on NXT, in my opinion.
You want to know something? She put a lot of sizzle in that fucking brand, I'll tell you right now.
She put nothing there.
He put a lot of sizzle, he says. Oh, sweet tits.
She put more sizzle on NXT than fucking Jeff Jarrett did on WCW Nitro.
Oh. You could choke on that, slap nuts.
I cannot wait for later.
Wait for it. I'm telling you right now. If you
guys didn't draw a dime.
I'm breaking the fourth wall. Guys, if you saw the text exchange between us three about 3 hours ago. that's a whole episode itself, because the throwback is a doozy, I can tell you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm warning you right now, it's the worst fucking pay-per-view I've ever
It's
seen.
Not the worst. It's one of the worst.
It's definitely not the worst.
It's definitely not the worst. Is it the worst of 2000 so far?
Yes.
Jay?
I think it's only going to get worse.
Next month we're doing Bash at the Beach.
I forgot about Bash at the Beach. Oh, shit. 2000.
Bash at the Beach 2000 when Hogan gets mad at Russo? Oh my God. That nonsense.
Fucking Hogan, Horace, Billy Kidman. Poor guy. All right, we'll get into it in a little while. All right, you want a preview Backlash, and then I got the New Japan brackets, man. New Japan is back. I stayed up late to watch the press conference the other night. Let's see. Backlash.
Look at you doing your due diligence.
Listen, I try. Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus.
Jeff Hardy wins.
Yeah, I have to agree. Jeff Hardy's going to have to go over on that one.
I was going to take Sheamus, but you guys are going to outvote me. You have to write that. And we're taking notes, so.
Yeah.
All right. I was gonna pick Sheamus, but that's okay. That's okay.
I just think it's Jeff Hardy's
comeback match.
Yeah, they're doing a big thing with Jeff Hardy. I don't know where they go from here.
We dumped piss on Sheamus tonight.
Yeah.
He made him take a piss test, and then he threw the fucking bottle of piss at him.
I just don't understand what they're doing with Sheamus right now. I feel bad for the guy. He's gotten in phenomenal shape. This is probably the best shape I've ever seen Sheamus in. And I really hope they do more with him. we'll see what happens. But him
and
he looks good too, Sheamus.
Yeah, I want him. I want him for the IC belt. I mean, I know AJ's got the belt now, and I like AJ with the belt. But I think before Sheamus calls it quits, I think we need a good run with the IC belt with Sheamus.
And then he'll be a Grand Slam champion again.
Exactly.
United States Heavyweight Championship, UHA Nation, a.k.a. Apollo Crews.
Finally. Defending
against Andrade. Yeah, finally. Put some shine on this kid, man.
Yeah.
What? I didn't call him a shine. I said put some shine, you fucking racist prick. Oh, ring that bell, you fucking mook. You're a mook, dude. I swear, you're Christ terrible. On a cracker.
You are terrible.
You're terrible.
By the way, Choppy's son Logan yelling Jesus Christ in the cemetery is it won the internet this week.
Yeah.
It won the internet this week. And then he did it for me in the car today. I'm like, I open the door, I go, Jesus Christ. He goes, Jesus Christ. And he throws his hands up. Anyway, Apollo versus Andrade. I'm picking Apollo.
Yeah, Apollo.
To retain.
Gotta go Apollo.
He just got the belt. There's no way he's going to lose it. No way.
That's... The women's tag championships, Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and the Iconics.
Oh, shit.
I smell shenanigans. I'm going to take the Iconics.
This one's hard.
Because Bayley can't hold those two belts for storyline purposes.
I think she can.
Did you hear what she said?
Bayley those belts?
No, she said.
Bayley those belts? Really?
She said no. She said, don't call me Bayley Two Belts because I'm not Becky Lynch. Call me Bayley Two Straps.
Oh, yeah, two strap-ons with that big square George chin has.
I don't know. I actually want to say I want to say Bayley and Sasha because I just think they're going to still keep telling the story about the breakup between them and, you know, maybe hold out for a SummerSlam match between the two of them.
I think –
For her belt.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm gonna go with Phil on this one. I think I might go with the Iconics on this one.
All right.
I like
it. Sorry, dude.
All right.
I like it.
I
pled my case.
Raw Women's Title: Asuka Konleche defending against Nia Jax.
Oh, Asuka's gonna win.
Asuka. Nia, I like you, girl. You got a pretty face. You got a curvy body, but you got to stop fucking hurting people, man.
Yo, she's fucking been botching. So she fucking hurt Kairi Sane.
I was calling Ahmed Jax the other night.
Oh, Ahmed Jax.
That's not the name of the episode? Is that the name of the episode? Ahmed Jax.
Return of Ahmed Jax. That's funny.
Are we all taking Asuka? Asuka?
Yeah, yeah.
Asuka con leche.
Asuka. Here you go.
Esta noche, sábado gigante.
I'm a little excited for this, and I shouldn't be, but Braun Strowman is defending the Universal strap against The Miz and Morrison.
Oof.
I don't think Strowman loses, but it's gonna be a fun match.
Strowman's definitely not losing it. You know, I'm not that excited for the belt. I'm for the match. You know, they're flipping him over. They're flipping Miz and Morrison over in the car. Like,
is it a triple threat match or is it just a handicap match?
I think it's a handicap match for the belt.
Yeah.
Man, I was really hoping and praying for John Morrison to pull one out and actually win the belt in this match. But they got that rocket strap on Braun Strowman right now.
Yeah.
And I think he's not going anywhere. I honestly think that Braun Strowman eventually is going to drop that title back to Bray Wyatt.
Eventually. Really? They took Bray off TV for a while, right? Is he hurt?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think they're trying to repackage him.
I think they took him off. I know he just had his kid, second baby with second baby with JoJo. And so I guess maybe they're just giving him a little time off and letting him simmer, I guess, per se, or what have you.
That kid's got
how you want to talk about the most mishandled wrestler in all of WWE history is Bray Wyatt. It's like a roller coaster ride with this motherfucker. I feel bad for him. He's so good.
Yeah. I'm going to play devil's advocate on that because I'm going to blame COVID. I mean, there's a lot of guys and girls that really can't get over without the crowd. I'm serious though. You need the crowd for some of this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Like it's terrible what they're doing right now.
Here's my problem though. Where was the E like for example, when he dropped the belt to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia, there was no COVID at that time, man.
Yeah, no, I know. I know.
It, It's like I feel bad for Bray. He is so good. They keep flip flopping him back and forth. I feel bad for the guy. He deserves better.
That's a fair assessment.
I agree with that.
I just think that he's not on TV currently because of what's going on.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen to Otis right now is the fact that there is no crowd is going to hurt him in the future, I think.
And another guy that's being mishandled is fucking Elias.
Well, he's hurt. No, he's hurt. He's off TV. They took him off TV. Man, he got hurt. That's why they had Jeff Hardy hit him with his car.
That guy is never going to get to break. Either he's hurt, or they don't push him. I don't get it. He's so good.
All right, Sloppy Lashley going up against Drew McIntyre for the title.
Oh God!
Please, for the love of Jesus Christ and Latter Day Saints. Do not give the belt to this fucking idiot.
If Lashley gets the belt, oh my God, I'd be shocked.
The only thing I like about Lashley right now is MVP.
MVP
is awesome. He's the modern day Slick. He's the modern day Slick.
I'm just going to throw a scenario out here. Given the climate that is out now in the world today.
Ooh. Are you playing a race card?
Do not be surprised if the contrived E puts the belt on a Bobby Lashley.
Wow!
Wait. What do you mean by on a Bobby Lashley? You mean Bobby Lashley.
The Bobby Lashley.
Oh, yes. How many Bobby Lashes do you know?
I know three.
Look at you. Look at you, Mr. Butterfly over here.
I know.
I was thinking of it, and I just go, I think if the pay-per-view was this past weekend, I think we'd be having a new champion. I'm just
one of my favorite people, but I think the fumes from the garbage truck get to you, Home Slice.
I know three Lashleys myself as well. I know three Lashleys.
Do you?
Yeah.
I know Blaster Lashley, LVW. Bobby Lashley and Sloppy Lashley.
It's Sloppy Lashley. That's right. Okay, so Jay's taking Lashley because Black Lives Matter.
I want Drew McIntyre to win. I mean, that's what I like Drew as the babyface right now. I like the role that he's in. I'm just saying, we all know how WWE is. They put the belt on Goldberg, beating a super monster heel Fiend.
Yeah, but it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. You know, it wasn't Yom Kippur when he did it.
It was close. It was close enough. It was close to it.
You're an asshole. You know that, right?
Lashley's life matters. Is that it?
Yeah.
Could we have that for the episode? No, I like.
Yeah, I like. I said, I'm just saying. We all know how WWE is. So. I want Drew McIntyre.
I'm going with the Scottish psychopath on this
one. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I like how he just renames all the basic wrestling moves he has.
Who's this?
Fucking McIntyre.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the finisher, but I'm going to give you this and give you that. And I'm like, dude, that's just a regular kick to the face. It's the claymore, you know it.
Wait, if it was Carl Anderson doing the fucking sick kick, it's okay. But if it's fucking Drew McIntyre, it's just a fucking kick to the face.
I never renamed Carl Anderson's kick. I just only kicked to the face.
No.
It wasn't a super kick.
He calls it the hi-yah kick. It's the hi-yah kick.
Hi-yah!
Who does? Carl Anderson?
Carl Anderson, yeah.
Oh, those two. This is us making some noise, too, on social media.
Let's
finish the pay-per-view.
Okay.
And then to top it all off, the greatest wrestling match ever.
Oh, dear Lord.
Randy Orton versus Edge on this day. I can't watch this.
Edge is going to win again.
I think Orton's going to win.
I think it's Randy Orton.
I read something that, you know.
Was somebody protesting, Jay? Was somebody protesting?
No.
Oh, okay.
I read that Edge is saying that he wants to wrestle, you know, somebody that he's comfortable with to answer a lot of questions in his head, I guess, about coming back full time or what have you. Semi full time, and so that's why I guess they're having the Orton Edge feud. But I don't know. I unless there's going to be some kind of chicanery happening.
Chicanery.
I could see
you added words to the lexicon. Good boy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Maybe the fumes are working for him.
Let him finish.
But I like I don't know. I just see Edge winning. I could just see. it's his first official, you know, wrestling match back. So I could see him winning. That would be my pick.
I'm taking Randy Orton. Chop, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Viper, dude.
All right.
Yeah, vote it out.
Fuck Jay.
It'll be in my... No. Fuck Jay. What's wrong with you? All right, so before we do New Japan brackets, one more WWE issue. Bruce Pritchard taking over both shows.
I was gonna say Shaylin put it in the chat.
I had this written down. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. Normally Shaylin has to Shaylin has to remind us, but thank God I had it written down today.
Why? I can't say why.
It's not even that, but it's the fact of the removal of Heyman on Raw as well, I think, is what is sticking to the craw of some people.
You know, it's funny because a couple of months ago, before Jay, right before you jumped on, me and Choppy had a conversation. Not one of your conversations.
Not one of mine.
We had a conversation about how I thought Bruce Pritchard coming back would put a little spark into the brands, you know, like, because he's got that old Pat Patterson feel to him, and he wasn't a bad booker back then. He wasn't a bad producer at all. And he's very well respected, apparently, from what I read. So I thought doing that was going to be fine. Then when they get Heyman, I'm like, oh, once they pull Brock off TV, Heyman comes back behind the curtain. Now we're going to see some stability. Yeah. And Raw still sucks ass. However, again, going back to COVID, there's a lot of things he probably can't do, you know? But now they're saying he wants to go back on TV. So does that mean Brock comes back for SummerSlam? That's my question to you guys.
No.
So who? See, he's come back on TV. What's he gonna do? Who's he advocating for? Randy Orton.
I think he comes back, and maybe they do like an old school. You know, what was like the reverse of Macho Man looking for a manager for Macho Man? Like, it was like, hey, listen, Brock's off for the summer. Who, you know, I'm looking to advocate for somebody, and then you have
like he did with Kurt Hennig's kid. For a little while.
Yeah.
And Cesaro, yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm sorry. I don't like you know, I guess maybe because I'm just a huge Heyman fan. So, like, the fact that he's not going to be behind Raw, like I said, unless they're just looking for a scapegoat, essentially, for what's happening, you know, you can't blame this whole entire thing on Heyman. I mean, he's doing what he can. He's giving what he's, you know, he's playing the hand that he's dealt. What have you. So, you know, in that sense, I think that he's probably still going to be a consultant to Pritchard. I'm almost positive Pritchard and Heyman get along very well, as far as I know. So, the idea of combining both SmackDown and Raw writers is – I'm not too surprised by it in a sense, but in the same sense, I'm like, well, there goes that whole competition thing that Vince likes.
Okay, Chop. Any thoughts on that?
I agree with Jay. It might be him trying to acquire some talent. I think that he might be advocating for Seth Rollins and his crew.
Ooh, that would make me watch Raw more than I want to watch it now. I can tell you that.
I would like to see him as a mouthpiece for Murphy and Austin Theory, though.
Yeah,
I'm mad at that either.
I like Austin Theory a lot. That's going to be the future of the company as well.
Absolutely.
He's only 22 years old.
Before we go to break, real quick, news of the week for me anyway, besides me putting furniture together.
I'm so happy about this fucking news.
New Japan is back. New Japan is returned. No Gaijin not yet because of the whole travel thing, but...
Yeah.
The only Gaijin that are really there are the ones that live out there already, which is like Zack Sabre Jr. and... All right, so the tournament's going from the 16th, which is, I believe, this coming week.
Yep.
All the way to the 11th at Osaka Joe Hall, okay? The opening brackets for the 16th is Makabe versus Tsuji, Ishii versus Desperado, Toriano versus Jado, Hamna versus Takahashi, the time bomb, Okada versus Gato. Yuji here's a match that I'm looking forward to.
This is gonna be good. Yuji Nagata and
fucking Minoru Suzuki. That's gonna be insane. Because Yuji Nagata is like, you know, 55, but he's going on 22 right now. He's had a resurgence. Uemura versus Kanaharu and Gabriel Kidd versus Ishimori. That's Choppy's boy, the Bone Soldier.
Bone Soldier's the shit.
And then it continues on the 24th, then the 2nd of July, then the 3rd of July, then the 11th. Oh, man, I tell you, though.
Who are you taking for the cup, dude?
I got Baza. Baza told me up the other day. I want Okada in the finals against Taichi.
Okay.
I like Taichi.
I thought Taichi got a little bit of a push before they did all this nonsense in the beginning of the year. And I thought his rise was going to take over Suzuki-gun. But again, this is New Japan, and we can't figure out their booking at all. It's like trying to do the Rubik's Cube. You know, you can never do it. You finally get it, but it takes a couple of years. You know, unless you're smart, and we're not. So
I'm going to predict an LIJ finals.
Uh huh. Well, Naito, whoever wins gets Naito's shot at Naito's both titles. Just an FYI.
I honestly think Evil is going to win the whole thing.
Oh, I'm not mad at that though.
I love Evil. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. Now, no Charisma Sonata, I'm okay with. It's all right. No, I don't need that. We don't need Sonata winning the tournament. It's okay.
I see. I'm not mad at that either. Any of those guys would have to go fight their boy, which I like too.
Yeah.
And New Japan's done that before, so it's not like they've shied away from stuff like that. I can't figure out their booking at all. So
no,
that's the beauty of it. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Have you guys seen Osprey? I guess quarantine, whatever. I thought he was living in Japan too.
I thought so too. Because I have the first round. I have the first set of brackets for the 22nd. Which is Tanahashi versus Taichi, Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr., Suzuki versus Sonata. I'm sorry, Taguchi versus Sonata. Sho versus Takagi, that's going to be a good match. Hiroshi Tenzan versus Yoshihashi. Hope Tenzan fucking rips his face off. Bushi, my boy Bushi, fighting Yo. Yeah. Kojima versus Evil, that's going to be a fucking great match. And how about this? Yujiro Takahashi, the pimp, taking on Hiroki Goto.
Goto can
make it to the finals too.
He could.
You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, though. And I'm not mad at any of these guys.
Yeah.
Whether it's fucking Evil or Taichi or Sonata, I'm not mad at any of those guys. Because now it just makes it for more intrigue because, A, there's none of us. Some of our favorites aren't in there, like Jay White and Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I thought Ospreay was,
you know, Bullet Club guys, you know. But it's going to make more intrigue now because a lot of these guys can win this thing, and you get a shot at both belts, which is pretty fucking cool, actually.
Yeah.
What? Did anyone hear anything about Tama being signed by WWE?
He mentioned that he got an offer. He didn't take it, though.
Oh, thank God.
He didn't take it, though.
I think he should just finish out his career with fucking New Japan and call it a day, man.
I agree.
He's much better in New Japan.
All right, fellas. Yeah,
far better off.
All right, fellas. Anything else before we take a quick break?
Nah, I think that's it.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's plug our friends. Thank God everything's working right now. We're live on the rant. We'll take a little quick break, and then we'll have a really shitty pay-per-view to cover tonight. You listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on the rant. We'll be right back. Take it away, Lord Alfred Hayes.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to shiningwizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers! Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the original Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Phil J. and that pain in the ass choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's right, J.J. Dillon. You're right. You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And we're live. All right.
It's choppy.
It's Phil.
And Jay.
And Taba.
And Taba in the background. Hey, Taba.
Hey, Taba.
Taba's in the background.
What up, boo-boo?
Hi.
Tape is making some this monster calzone I got from Reggie Annals. Monster calzone, so
it's a fine establishment.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, it's good. It's gonna be a good night at Casa DJ.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow. I'll
be sleeping at 11:15.
get her all lick it up, then you pass out. You fucking, you're a party pooper.
I'm like a modern day Romeo.
Look at you. And this is why we can't have nice things. All right. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Let's do it.
I think so.
This barn burner.
And now here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
I know we mentioned before that we're part of Dark Satellite Media. I want to give a shout out to Jimmy Ferrari. Jimmy's doing some big things right now. He's getting some exposure for the podcast. He's interviewing a bunch of cool bands, and
if anything, like the being quarantined and everything that's happening, like he's actually been doing like a lot more work. It seems like with everything, he's actually doing really good things.
So, of course, I tell you this always, but always support our people, especially Jimmy's good people. And I think we're gonna have Jimmy on the show soon, hopefully.
Cool.
We keep saying we're gonna get each other on. It's gonna happen, but.
And we should shout out really quick to Shiny Wizards Kevin. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday to KG, Kevin Garifo, funny guy, allegedly.
Fuck him.
Yeah, well, allegedly.
Choppy, isn't he a fan of you, Choppy?
He is a Choppy guy.
Yeah, he's a Choppy guy.
Choppy don't give a fuck, though. He's a hater. Choppy's a hater. Like,
Choppy's a heel.
Choppy's what rappers talk about when they say you're a hater. That's Choppy.
He's a hater.
If they had an urban dictionary with the word hater, Choppy's fucking big gypsy heads on the fucking black.
If there was a Bill Karen, it'd be me.
His big Portuguese melon would be in right in
big
the middle.
Big Portuguese
of
melon. I love it.
I'm EJ. I'm great.
I love it. I love it. All right, let's go to June 11th, 2000. The Baltimore Arena, Baltimore, home of Lee Champion, boy Lee from the Rant.
Yep.
I'm gonna say Lee was not at this pay per view. I'm hoping Lee listens to the show, so I hope he can confirm that.
If Lee was at the show, he would not be a wrestling fan anymore. So he probably wasn't there.
Correct. 7,031 in attendance.
Why?
They killed this town.
They killed Baltimore. Baltimore's dead.
They killed this town.
I can't wait to get back down to them. I love Inner Harbor, dude. It's one of my favorite vacation spots ever. Orioles game. And I don't eat fish. I'll eat fish when I'm down there because it's so good down there. Mm-hmm. The Camden Yards is dope. The aquarium is dope. But not the Great American Bash 2000. I can tell you that. That was not dope. This was as Choppy would say, I'm taking one of his words, dreadful. Dreadful. Yeah. Dreadful. This was fucking dreadful. And you know something?
I'm sorry.
What happened?
I couldn't keep a straight face when you said it.
So, like I said, I've been the last couple of weekends since I've only been here a week, but I've been unpacking and shit like that and cleaning up the apartment and stuff. And today I dedicated a couple of hours to like making sure I had the pay-per-view on while I was doing all this. Choppy came to give me a hand with something, and then I still ran the pay-per-view. I was, you know, so now when he left, I was like officially done with all my fucking chores for the day. So my only chore was to finish watching this fucking nonsense, right?
And that's a fucking chore.
Yeah, dude, it was a chore. Like, I'm on Grubhub. Do I order dinner now? And it's only 3:30. What do I do? It's
like, can I just say I had more fun cleaning my bathroom than I did watching this fucking pay-per-view?
Fallon's like, take a nap. And I'm like, I'm like, you know, I have the body of an 80-year-old right now. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm taking ibuprofen. I don't know if my body hurts because of that or my body hurts because I'm watching this fucking pay-per-view.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so you know my disdain for... what's his face? Yuji Rekshin. What the hell was his real name in real life?
Hugh Morris.
No, his real name when he was the coach.
Oh, Bill DeMott.
Bill DeMott. I can't stand that dude.
Yeah.
I hate all these guys, and I forgot that it was that Chavito was with them and fucking Booker T was with them. I get that dude.
G.I. Bro.
Oh, I forgot. I totally forgot about this, and thank God I did. It's a horrible memory.
Oh, yeah.
Your opening match. Lieutenant Loco, a.k.a. Chavito, Chavo Guerrero, versus the Disco Inferno. Let me ask you a question. What was the significance of him wearing the Kobe gear? Was it because the Lakers were... I know the Lakers were good at the time. They had Shaq and... I don't know what the hell.
He was part of the Filthy Animals. That's why. They were a hip-hop group.
Oh, okay.
Remember when Lex Luger was part of the Wolfpack?
Wearing the FUBU? That makes sense.
The Disco Inferno was the equivalent of Lex Luger. He was a white boy trying to be part of
the That makes sense.
He's like, you know what? Let me wear some basketball gear and I'll be good.
Because he is fucking terrible. And I love Glenn Gilbert. I love Disco Inferno.
Yeah.
I don't.
I do. I love him. But I just, you know how you talk about something didn't fit, like with the Inner Circle? This crew looked dysfunctional. They all look retarded looking anyway.
Also, you know what's the key word for this pay-per-view?
Horrible mid-carders? Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, timing. Timing was awful.
Oh.
Yeah.
Timing was awful.
Good call, Chop. Good call, yes.
Every match, it's like nobody knew what the fuck timing was. They fucked up every spot you could think of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, normally under other gimmick circumstances, I should say, this match would be good.
Yeah.
But you can't get away from the fact these gimmicks were fucking terrible.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Like, if it was Chavo Guerrero against Disco Inferno in and of itself.
Yeah, Chavo versus Disco straight up, I'm not mad at. Disco Fever and him coming out with the fucking, with the Eddie shit, you know? I'm not mad at that. But come on, man. Come on, man.
Well, I
have a problem. Was this a lumberjack match?
It turned into one.
I didn't get it.
It wasn't at first. And you know, Chavo just won the the cruiserweight title the week prior. I think it was on Thunder against he won in a triple threat match against Disco and Daphne. Daphne was the cruiserweight champion.
I just want to point out that
Where WCW was at this point.
Well, I want to point out that you was the champion. Well, I want to point out that you were so diligent in your findings that you dedicated an hour 45 minutes to fucking Thunder. Okay.
I watched the Thunder
on purpose. On purpose.
On purpose for this
Let's
show.
Let's just I want you guys to acknowledge Jay now after you listen to the episode. Give Jay love for
it was
painstakingly watching fucking Thunder.
The only good thing about it was Bobby Heenan was on Thunder. He's not on the pay per view, mind you. And but he was on Thunder.
And this is drunk Bobby Heenan, right? This is I love drunk Bobby Heenan.
I don't give a shit, Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, exactly. and not for nothing. Speaking of announcers, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it every time we do a WCW pay per view when he's on it. How fucking dreadful! I'm using that word again. Is Mark Madden
awful?
He is the fucking shit of the drizzling variety.
He makes my fucking skin crawl.
He's worse than Corey Graves. He's worse than fucking Beth Phoenix. He's worse than anybody who you don't like now.
Who's better than Mark Madden is Excalibur. He's better than Mark Madden.
Yes, and I don't like Excalibur. He's fucking awful too.
Excalibur is awesome.
You're out of your mind, dude. Dude, you got to get out some more, man. You got to breathe some fresh air. Get the fuck out. You live in a nice neighborhood. Go walk in the landfill. Go fucking take a deep breath over there. You lunatic.
Excalibur is great.
You're out of your mind. You're drinking that magic IPA shit too much, probably. It's rotting your fucking brain, hippie. All right. So who cares? Loco gets the win at 454. No one cares. And Major Guns takes his shirt off and gives...
By the way, how ugly was Major Guns, bro? She is fucking
She's not
ugly.
Good looking at all.
Woo!
You know, she's... If it was 1993, she would be hot stuff.
Listen,
but it was 2000 at this time.
No disrespect. I graduated high school in 93, and I was tagging better pussy than that. I'm just putting that out there. And I'm no fucking Brad Pitt, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Just picture me about 100 pounds lighter with hair. You know what I'm saying? I'm not very good looking. But I digress. She's not good looking at all. And then she gave fucking Grandpa mouth to mouth.
Yeah, who? What the fuck was that all about?
I don't know, dude.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even remember.
I think it's Ralphus's grandfather. That's what it looks like.
Possibly.
And then backstage security telling Eric Bischoff he was safe to make his announcement later. That means he didn't defuse the Mama Lukes. For their upcoming match, there was a tension over who the real hardcore champion was. And it means he ended it with a horrible fucking impression of an Italian man. Gene, God bless your soul. Stop it with the impressions.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No need for it.
As Jimmy Norton would say, it stinks, and I don't like it.
Yes.
Okay, your next match. Jay, you want to get this one?
This match is just long. It's not even the longest match. I mean, we're going to talk about
it. It went almost 10 minutes.
But yeah, 10 minutes, just, I'm not going to get back, goddammit.
The only
2 hours and 45 minutes, you're not going to get back.
Oh.
The only thing I did like, and it's gonna sound stupid to say, is I really liked the stuff that Big Vito was doing with the belt. I don't know why. I really did find that entertaining. Like he was wrestling. It was like a 1992 arcade game. He had the belt on the whole fucking match. You know that I enjoyed. But like there was a, you know, Johnny the Bull. Does he ever do anything right the first time? Like, there was so many things that he had to do twice in the match.
I don't know if you listen to the podcast. Me and Choppy are huge fans of Johnny the Bull Stamboli.
I love Johnny the Bull.
I like Johnny the Bull.
Especially when he was part of the Mama Lukes and or the FBI in WWE.
I liked him in WWE as well. I mean, listen, I liked him here. He's, you know, what did they say? $1 million body, $100 mind?
$5 brain, $100 it's Lex Luger? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like Big Vito. I'm a big fan of Big Vito.
You know what was the worst part of this whole match? Do you want to know? It's the part at the end of the match where Brian Clark and Brian Adams are trying to figure out how the fuck are we going to finish this match off. They were so confused of whether they should hit the double choke slam.
Oh, no. No, they were so confused of where the hard camera was.
Man, what the fuck is wrong with these folks?
Hey, Brian Clark looks at Adams and goes, hey, what's our finishing move again?
Yeah. Like,
they were high, chronic.
Yeah.
Brian Adams is like, are you going to come over here so we can double choke slam this motherfucker?
That's exactly it.
Awful.
Yeah,
awful
fucking awful match. It was awful. And it goes back to what Choppy was saying about timing. You know, it's just like they couldn't. How do you not know this stuff? Like, everybody's like in tune. You know, refs have the earpieces on. The cameramen always cue the guys. Like, it's not these guys weren't like new. They weren't like rookies. These guys are all fucking veterans. So
these are all vets. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All vets.
Yeah. All right. Your next match, as the shit show continues. It was the ambulance match.
Oh, ambulance match.
Ambulamps, as they say in the hood.
The ambulance.
Ambulamps. DDP taking on Mike Awesome.
Oh.
Ugh.
Yeah. Why do I remember Mike Awesome's?
All right. He brought it back.
Choppy slapping the mic against his head.
He brought
why
it
do I
back.
Remember? Why do I remember Mike Awesome's run in WCW? I remember it more finally than everything I've seen so far. Like the last few weeks, you know, we've done WCW stuff or whatever. It's like, why do I think that he had a better run in WCW?
Because Mike Awesome was not as good as everyone thinks he was. Because he was only good when he's going up against Masato Tanaka. But if you put him up against any other wrestler, he fucking sucks.
And if you listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks, you would know that. Because we've mentioned it a million times.
Well, we had that same talk too. When I would say that, like I like Mike Olson. It's like, yeah, he wasn't facing Masato Tanaka.
Yeah, or when he was in Japan, taking you know, biting, blowing shit up with Mr. Pogo. You know.
Yeah.
Diamond awesome. Dallas Page has had his wife turn on him, David Arquette, and now Canyon.
He is the most hated man in WCW.
How do you go from like top billing, right? And you could tell Kevin Nash had the book because this is fucking awful booking, by the way. Not 6 months ago, you were on top of the world, killing everybody, and now your whole team turns on you. And
or Canyon had to sit there like Gary Wolf in a wheelchair.
Bro. Bro. And then not only do you have all your people turn on you, but now they put you against Mike Awesome.
Yeah.
Like, don't put him in the main event. I would give him Hogan instead of fucking Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what's even crazier? Is that Canyon does the Canyon cutter onto a bunch of cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
You saw cardboard boxes under a sheet of fucking a black sheet. You're like, really? That's going to hurt your back, Canyon? Are you fucking kidding me?
And Canyon was one of the most underrated guys ever in wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Canyon was very good.
He was a very good wrestler. 100%.
Well, this is the start of my favorite Canyon, the Positively Canyon. Like, when he dyes his hair.
Oh, no.
And he diamond cuts everybody on his way through Thunder. He just diamond cuts everybody. Like, this
how many episodes of Thunder
Canyon.
Are you watching, dude?
I've watched a lot of Thunder in my
You're terrible.
You're
you know
drinking
that.
Way too much, bro. We might have two conversations and an intervention.
There's a video I think on YouTube. It's like 10 minutes of just the best of Canyon, like Positively Canyon.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
He diamond cuts everybody. So that's the only good thing about this match. It's like, oh, well, at least it starts off my favorite part of Canyon.
Mom's coming to Staten Island tomorrow. We got diamond cut her on the way out.
and then she'll get up and beat the shit out of you.
Yeah. She'll turn on me like Kimberly did.
She'll no sell it.
Mom will no sell it. She'll fuck you up.
It'll be a Linda Lesser on a pole match.
Linda Lesser on a pole match. Ring that bell. All right. The shit show continues, boys.
This match was
fucking terrible, and you know, not for nothing. Okay, I get it. They give Booker T again. Whoever did this to Booker T should have hemorrhoids for the rest of their life. I know. Listen, I know. I feel like they punished him because a couple of months later he starts winning. He becomes champion and everything else. But which is the cool part of 2000 actually? Because I was a big Booker T guy. However, this was not this time was not kind to Mr. Huffman at all. And on top of that, they book him against another fucking jabroni who's awful. Stan Stasiak was not only was he ripping off Kurt Hennig's gimmick, but then he dresses up like a fucking like a reject out of Schwarzenegger's Commando movie.
Perfect Sean is great. What are you talking about?
Perfect Sean was awful.
Half of the tag team champions. Thank you very much.
The main event. The event. Chuck Palumbo.
And Chuck Palumbo, who wasn't too bad. I like Chuck Palumbo, but not at this time. Not at this time.
No,
I liked them as gay Chuck and Billy with Rico Charles. Anyway,
Booker T, GI Bro coming in on the zip line.
By the way, he got stuck.
Yeah,
did you see him moving?
Did anybody else yell Owen Hart like I did?
Yes, God. I know. I thought the same thing. Didn't they learn anything from Owen Hart?
Yes, ring that bell. Yeah. I was like, I'm yelling, Owen. The cat's looking at me. I'm like, cat's like, my name's not Owen, you fat bastard.
Well, you got to keep in mind, WCW was really racist at this time, so they probably didn't even care. And if you fell,
who's booking? This is, listen, you want to talk about timing and bad matches? Who booked this should fucking get scabies. Get something.
Yes.
Like, this is fucking terrible. Like,
a boot camp match.
How do you... Well, you can call it whatever you want. It's fucking... It's a false count anywhere match. But, like, come on, man. Come on. This is... You don't put Booker T against Sean Stasiak, of all people.
Phil is great. I love Angry Phil right now.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to make him more angry because hear me out. I had a thought during this match.
Oh, no.
They're calling him GI Bro. You got to give kudos to WCW. He did lose the rights to the name Booker T a few months earlier, if you do remember.
Well,
Ahmed Johnson, fuck Ahmed.
Yes. So you have to say WCW did continue some storyline continuity.
Shut the fuck up.
Continuity? Who books this shit?
All right, then, Deontay number two. Get the fuck out of here.
Deontay cop over here. Come on.
I knew I was gonna
Jay Baker. Jay Baker is his new name. Jay Baker.
Yep.
Jay Baker.
I'm going to be the WCW advocate.
Deontay, we're busting your balls, buddy. We love you. Yeah. Thank you for...
Yeah, G.I.J.
I'm going to be the new WCW advocate.
Yeah. Deontay's a good... He's a good kid. He's a good kid.
Deontay.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's about all I can do for the defense of this match. This match is just terrible. And especially when you go, all right, listen, we're gonna book a boot camp match, and then it's like, how much time do we got? All right, man, we're going to give him like 15 minutes.
15 minutes! And you're like, oh,
fuck.
What, you know what's another theme of this pay-per-view? Is run-ins. There's always a run-in in every fucking match.
Yeah. Well, that was WCW, though, Chop. That's, you can't. No. Yeah,
don't tell me it's a dusty finish. Don't tell me
that was WCW booking. That was the run. That was the attitude that would run, dude. They had run-ins everywhere. I'm okay with that. This is just bad fucking booking, man. Terrible. This is terrible. Christ on a cracker.
Now I know why Phil hates Kevin Nash so much.
No. Hold on a second. I don't like Kevin Nash because they made him out to be better than what he was. It's one of those things where it's like Nash. I was at a convention one time, right? And I heard these kids talking. They're like, "Yeah, Kevin Nash is the best big man ever." And I turned to this kid. And I turned to this kid, and I'm like, "You're ill informed, son." He says, "What?" I'm like, "You're ill informed. You're not right. You're retarded." I called the kid retarded. I should have called him retarded, but I did. Right?
No, you're right. He's retarded.
And it's not the first time I heard retarded kids talking about Kevin Nash. It's like, listen. I get the
appeal.
Yes, exactly. I mean, between Diesel and whatever, and he made it after all the shit gimmicks he had, like Oz and Vinny Vegas and the whole nine yards. However, it's like at one point, the gimmick evolved too much. Like it, and from NWO to Wolfpack to babyface, he's like the lead babyface right now in the company. Which is fucking disgusting. And it's like, who does this? Where's Scott Hall? Where is... Yeah. And It's listen, you know shit's bad when Scott Steiner and Kevin Nash are your baby faces of are your main baby faces of the company. Okay? Yeah. So it's like the you want to talk about timing? If he had the book, I hope it's a phone book cuz I want to fucking smack him in the face with it. Like it's just bad. Like, you know, there have been well-booked bad pay-per-views. Like, you know how shit looks good on paper? We've done this before, and Jay, you've been on the show for a couple months now, so you know. Like, there were pay-per-views that look good on paper, but they don't turn out the way you expect them to be, and they're fucking dismal, right? This is just bad everywhere. You're booking guys who shouldn't be fighting these other guys, and fuck the storyline purposes either. Like, you got to start writing shit better. Kevin Nash is doing this in his fucking bathroom on fucking toilet paper. It is fucking terrible.
The day of the show, by the way. Yeah, like, he's doing it the day of the show. Like, you can tell. Yeah. There's no thought behind it.
He's leaving the hotel room with a roll of toilet paper in his gym bag. Guys, check this out. He's rolling it out. Listen, come here, Scotty. Yeah. Come here. I'm gonna grab my nephew from my sister's house. Okay. Yeah. For the next couple of days, and we're gonna incorporate this poor kid who looked like a fucking reject from the Wonder Years, right? And he didn't. And let's get back to the pay per view. So Canyon was interviewed backstage where he said Eric Bischoff visited him more than anybody else in the hospital. Blah 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 blah. And then of course they showed DDP still walking in the parking lot because he's depressed. And here comes Goldberg's monster truck. By the way, he was not driving. By the way. Some other fucking jerk.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I am too because apparently he's like a car enthusiast.
Yeah.
I'll talk about Goldberg in a few minutes because that pissed me the fuck off too. All right, tables match. The franchise.
But can I just say something? This is the Dave Meltzer match of the night. I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it. You want to know why? First off, Shane calls everyone a piece of shit in Baltimore. I love that.
Oh, yep. He always did that though.
But this is WCW. This is not ECW. So, you know, you have to be strict with the language and stuff. But he did call them pieces of shit, which is great.
Yep.
And then, mind you, this is probably the best shape I've seen the franchise in since his, like, 95 or 96 run in ECW.
I agree. I agree with that.
And then what I didn't like about this match is the explanation of the rules. Oh, they have to make sure they hit each other with five tables at the same time. All at once, and then they win the match.
Nine tables. It was like, yeah. That means you got to go through nine tables.
And this is where I come in and say, Phil, you're absolutely right. Mark Madden is the worst fucking wrestling announcer of all time.
Yep.
He can't even explain the fucking rules of a best out of five.
This is 8 minutes and 12 seconds. I'm not getting back, and it's probably a half a roll of Cottonelle that Kevin Nash wrote this on, because the fact that you have listen. You already have my attention, let's say, in 2000. I bought the pay-per-view, or I'm bootlegging it at this point. You already have my attention, okay? Now you're insulting my intelligence.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not fucking... This is not Australian rules football. This is not rugby. This is not fucking... what's the game that... it's like baseball, but they play it in West...
Cricket?
Cricket.
This ain't cricket, okay? Jafar's not pitching, okay? There's no – you can't – listen. If you have to explain the rules to me, like that, you lost me.
Exactly.
You lost me. Right. You lost me. And I love Shane Douglas.
So do I. He's my favorite ECW champion of all.
Correct. And, again, one of the best underrated. Oh, he was underrated because he had a bad attitude too. That's why he didn't get far.
I think that is also a big factor.
Forget about him being in great shape. Forget about him and the storyline leading up to this was he had a losing streak. Mm-hmm. He kept losing big matches. So what did they do? They throw a mid-carder at him in a fucking tables match that had a half a book of rules. Okay.
By the way, why did fucking Wall make himself look like Dan the Beast Severn in this match? What was up with that?
If Dan Severn and Freddie Mercury had a fucking love child, it would be the Wall.
Damn.
Yeah, like he was all blonde and now he's like jet black.
You know what he looked like? Mr. Slave from fucking South Park. Jesus Christ. He looked like Mr. Slave.
Oh man.
It was terrible. Yeah. I hated it. I kept yelling Owen Hart still at this point.
And it was,
somebody to fall off the fucking thing and hit somebody.
And it was predictable. It was very predictable. We all knew the wall was going through a mountain of tables at this point, you know.
But it's still the, to me, it was still the best match of the whole night. To me, it was.
It's very hard to argue.
I know.
It's hard to argue.
All right. So at this
it point, definitely wasn't the next match.
So at this point, Hulk Hogan arrives.
See Hogan driving with the things on, the boa?
Yes. He's casually late, complete with ruffles and everything. Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right. Your next match was for the United States. This fucking match pissed me off so much. For the United States title, all right?
This match was fucking
awful. This is fucking terrible.
All of a sudden, there's this shit. This shit cage comes down from the rafters. It's just like, hey, how can we make a Tank Abbott match worse? I got an idea. Let's give him less surface area to work in. Maybe we can make Tank Abbott better.
Oh, you know what else we can do? Let's add Rick Steiner into the match, so that way it makes him look like he can wrestle too.
Yeah, you had to put people to work with him because he can barely walk, this guy. He's a fucking he's a half a retard.
Now hold on.
He is.
Are you sure he's not full retard? Come on.
Choppy, he looks like a security guard in a group home, okay?
Now according to the Thunder before this, so now
again with the Thunder. Oh god, Christ on a cracker, Jay.
The Thunder before this, Scott Steiner ran through the New Blood. Like five guys ran, you know, gauntlet match style.
Kez.
And so him taking on his brother and Tank Abbott is just nothing for him at this point. Like it just you're making Scott Steiner this massive baby face for like you said, for what reason? If in 2000, if your big baby face is Scott Steiner and Kevin Nash, like something is wrong.
You know what was
something
the best part
terribly
of
terribly wrong about?
You know what was the best part of Scott Steiner as a baby face right now? Was Medeja and that girl Shakira? What the fuck?
Shakira. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Medeja was. Oof, my God, I'm surprised she never did Playboy back in the day because that was
all the way live. That is for sure. But
this match was fucking terrible.
This match was just terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you see the trend here, but this every match that we talk about is either okay or just fucking terrible.
Well, does it get worse? It can't get worse.
Oh, yes, it does get worse. Oh, absolutely.
Wait. Can I just finish this with my thought on the Asylum match? Okay. I love how they're beating on Scott Steiner, right? Who, by the way, if anybody forgot, he was U.S. champion, right?
Yes.
All right, but that thought that no one remembers this because at this point you're just trying to get away from not watching it, right? So as the cage, I don't know if you notice this, guys. As the cage gets lowered, right? As the cage gets lowered, Tank Abbott, well, he's a retard, but he has to keep looking back to make sure, and they have to keep pulling Rick Steiner over, Scott Steiner over, so the cage don't close on him, because they don't know where it's coming from. Like, this is where, and again, Choppy opens the segment with the timing, right? And he couldn't have been more fucking accurate because he's 100% right. Nothing looked good at all.
No. You remember the match with Hogan and Ultimate Warrior at Halloween Havoc 1998?
Oh stop God, it.
Yes. That was a clinic.
You mean with the smoke show they had, the smoke machine? Like that broke? It must have broke or something?
That was a firecracker. Come on, let's give Hogan some credit.
Fuck out of here,
flash
man.
Flash paper. Oh.
That was a clinic.
This match was unbelievable. And then, like you said, and then, you know, what you would call it? Like, what happens at the end? Like, Tank hits Rick Steiner. And then, you know, Scott Steiner puts Tank Abbott in the Steiner recliner. And he gives up in like 2 seconds.
And
like,
thankfully this match was only 3 minutes and 46 seconds, but it's 3 minutes and 46 seconds that I will not get back. Just so you know.
Oh, it's fucking awful.
So I just, again, I'm just, it's so bad because a very distinguished championship is being defended. and it gets lost in translation because of fucking because of retardation, bad booking, and terrible timing. Yeah. Let's move on. Ric Flair arrives with his family. No one cares. Okay. Mean Gene interviews Hogan. Hogan's wearing, like Jay said, the black and white with the feather boa, the gimmicks. Ugh. And the best line was, "Blood is thicker than new blood, brother." Blood is first of all.
It doesn't even make sense.
As a medical professional, and I wish now this is where I wish table was in front of you still. I want to know how regular blood is not as thick as new blood.
Listen here, dude.
is it like a dialysis patient when they get the fucking machine and it's like you're getting your kidneys filtered, sir. Okay, well, and the blood's being, you know, pumped through and you're like, okay, but it's not new, it's just your blood. And it just didn't make any sense. Hogan, you know, I feel like Hogan's lost at this point, you know?
Well,
at this point, he's really just there for a fucking paycheck.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's not even, he doesn't care. He's wearing the wrong clothes. He's saying the wrong things. He's driving the wrong car. He's fighting Billy Kidman. No one cares.
Well, you see, so now the night show before this, he pulled a big swerve, bro. And he said the red and yellow.
Bro, all right there, fucking. There. All right, Vince Russo.
Bro. Yeah, the red and yellow isn't coming, but he never said anything about Hollywood. So then Hollywood came.
Shout out to Jay for watching a lot of fucking terrible programming.
By the way, this is a time period where Hogan, prior to coming in as Hollywood Hogan, was coming in his like fatigues that he wore from fucking War Games of 1995.
he lent them to Stan Stasiak for his match.
Yes, he did. He went to the same game.
Yeah.
Or Sean Stasiak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The perfection. Perfection or how you
Perfection.
Retardation.
Yes.
Billy Kidman versus Hogan.
Why did anyone think that Billy Kidman was going to be a superstar?
And
Tori Wilson.
And why is crooked? And why is retarded Hulk Hogan, which is Horace Hogan, the retarded nephew of Hulk Hogan?
You know him, and you know Mike Awesome is also related to Hogan, right?
On purpose?
Yeah, it was. It's like
their cousin, like Horace Hogan and all Mike Awesome's cousin. Cousins.
Yeah,
and then they're related to Hogan by just because they're nephews.
I've never seen a less level of care on Phil's face than right there. He's like, stop trying to fucking substantiate Mike Awesome to me.
First of all, I advocate for anything Mike Awesome did up until the Fat Chick Thriller. After that, you lost me. Masato Tanaka, Mr. Pogo, Leatherface, he fought Taz. Stop. Stop it. Don't try to sell me on Mike Awesome. Especially
Mike Awesome is better than Ric Flair, okay, buddy?
tonight he was. Tonight he was. Horace Hogan is like the Eugene of WCW. Right?
Is it just me, or did he look extra tall in this match?
Well, yeah, because every time he joins a new stable, he wears less clothing. So I guess it accentuates his fucking biodome of a head. Like he's got a Will Sweeney head. You know, my best friend Will. You know, Will's got a biodome. Will wears a size 8 hat.
Why didn't they replace Horace Hogan with the Disciple in this match as the referee?
Yes. No. Hmm. Yes. Yes. No. No. Yes.
Would that have made it better? Probably not.
Well, how about the Yeti? Bring the Yeti back.
The Yeti.
You mean, what's his name? Reese from the block.
Yeah, Ron Reese. Reese. Yeah, they all went to fucking Spencer's and bought flannels. And fucking rejects. Oh, Kevin Nash, you should get hemorrhoids. This is fucking terrible.
This match was so bad. The only thing that was good about this match was Tori Wilson's fat ass in this match.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to... If I had to pick a favorite match, and this is odd, this is my favorite match of the night.
And it's because of Tori Wilson, I'm assuming, right?
Well, that, and I like Billy Kidman.
Do you really?
And I love his music. Oh, yeah. I love Billy Kidman.
But that's another thing about this... That's another thing about the pay-per-view. Almost every theme song was not copywritten. So you have, like, the generic fucking theme for every fucking character. Like Chronic's music?
Chronic. Chosen One.
What the fuck was that shit?
Chosen One. That was...
Well, did you guys notice that the MIA music is the same as Ernest the Cat Miller?
Yes. I thought it was Misfits in action or some shit like
that. And things are that bad that Ernest the Cat Miller is the commissioner of WCW.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The most compelling thing that Ernest the Cat Miller ever did is when he brought James Brown into fucking WCW. That was it.
Yeah.
And you know, after this match, you see Tony Schiavone wearing Nike sneakers. Like, even Schiavone doesn't give a fuck about anything. He's like, I'm just gonna come, you know, I'm gonna wear whatever the fuck I want. It's 2000. It's WCW.
Schiavone is like, what am I doing here?
It's the Kevin Nash Cottonelle show. Okay, your next match is David Flair against Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I.
Why are they pinning Ric Flair? One of the greatest, if not the greatest,
50 year old Ric Flair, FYI,
yes. The greatest wrestler of all time against his not so greatest wrestler of all time, David Flair, his son. Why? Why do we have to subjugate ourselves to this nonsense?
Because Vince Russo,
yep,
and Kevin Nash bought a fucking 12-pack of toilet paper before this pay per view. Right?
Was it 2-ply?
It had to be. It had to be. Because they had the ink would have ran through if they didn't get a 2-ply. Listen, unless I'm wrong, please.
It's the idea.
And for Vince Russo to even say that he did his best to help out the WCW is foolish. He's full of shit.
Yeah, it's literally you're trying to blur the lines of like realness, but it's like it's too campy. It's too soap opera. Like, there's no way that like David, you know what I'm saying? Like that whole thing. And then, you know, I mean, I didn't mind the stuff with, you know, towards the end of the match, it was just, it was too campy for me. I mean, obviously we got to see a very young Charlotte Flair pre.
Was she 16? Was she 16 with no titties?
Yeah. And definitely a way different face.
Her mom was hot though. I'd give it to her mom.
Yeah.
Her mom can get it. Little MILF action.
But man, it's just this was just awful.
Yeah.
God fucking awful.
This again, ladies and gentlemen, one. You see the trend that we're going through with this tonight?
Just going.
Everything is awful.
Yeah.
Not good, awful.
This shit ball started on top of the hill really small, and as it's coming down the hill, it's just getting massive.
It's not even a snowball. It's a shit ball, just like Jay said.
So this is 10.5 minutes. We're not getting back. Flair basically drags his kid, carries
10 minutes.
Yeah, and drags his kid through this. And like Jay said, all the bullshit at the end didn't help matters at all. Post-match, Vince Russo calls out.
I didn't even like this.
He calls Flair's kids bitches. He's going to retire Rick himself tomorrow on Nitro. And then Rick and his kids crotch chop. Even the mom was crotch chopping. I'm like, that's just a little bit.
Why? Why? Choppy's reaction right there is all you need to see. It's just, why? Why are we doing this? Like,
now, before we get into this next match, I want to just premise by saying something. They call the death in a lot of the guys in pro wrestling or around pro wrestling, people who are involved in it call death matches, they call it garbage wrestling. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I tape traded a ton of this stuff because I thought it was amazing. Not because of the talent, because of the shit they would come up with, like shards of glass and exploding rings and barbed wire, whatever. And of course, the famous IWA King of the Death match, you know.
95, yeah.
Correct, with Cactus Jack, right? And so when they started incorporating all the hardcore shit, clearly stealing it from ECW, who took it from FMW and Wing, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. By the time it got to WCW, I was not a fan. It didn't matter who had the belt. Didn't matter who. I just didn't like it. Even though I'm a fan of Norman Smiley, I was a fan of a couple of guys. I liked Finley. I just didn't like the title. I didn't like the matches.
Yeah.
When it comes to shit like this, if you have to set your opponent on fire,
yeah,
to win the match, and these guys, what's worse is on paper, both these guys can wrestle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is.
So I don't care if you want to put Bob Wire in the ring. You want to put the fucking the all the gimmicks, like Raven had the gimmicks around the ring with the you know, or New Jack had a shopping cart full of gimmicks, right? If you have to set your opponent on fire, how much fucking toilet paper did you waste on writing this fucking shit show of a match? First of all, if I was Sting, I would have slapped the booker right in the fucking mouth. If if I was Vampiro, I would have took all of the Misfits fucking instruments and set them on fire in the booker's office.
Yeah.
Okay? How do you have two talented fucking guys who were on a collision course, and at the time we were all fighting for this. We're like, oh, wow, Vampiro, yeah. Sting, same gimmick kind of thing, same kind yeah. of style, both. And then, of course, you know, Vampiro's got a little bit of Lucha in him because he's Mexican. Well, he wrestled in Mexico. He's Canadian. But, but like, you wanted this match, right? But, like, bad lighting, bad finish, and you had to set your opponent on fire. Who likes this shit?
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible. Fucking terrible.
In the defense of the writing team for this match. In the defense.
What? I should
now
mute
we're
you.
Talking.
No, I'm going to mute
now
you.
Now we're talking,
no, I'm muting his mic right now. I'm muting it.
In defense of this writing, they were trying to replicate the Inferno match from WWE somehow.
Chop.
Somehow.
Chop. You weren't setting people on fire with an Inferno match.
Yes, you were.
No, you weren't.
You were setting Kane on fire.
Not on purpose. The ring was surrounded with fire. You didn't have to set your opponent on fire to win the match.
So you, well, yeah, I don't that I don't remember.
To win the match,
I just remember Kane's arm just going on
right
fire.
because the ring was surrounded with fire. That's not the first time there's been fire in a match.
Yeah,
but to win this match, you have to set your opponent on fire. How fucking retarded is that?
Where do you come back from this?
Yeah, it's like it's like oh well, you know, I'm whatever. Good.
And Sting took a bump off the side thing. It was like from like 8-10 feet up, and that's where we've seen the cardboard boxes again. We've seen cardboard boxes.
Clearly, one of those guys didn't take a bump. It was a stuntman.
Oh, it was definitely a stuntman. Oh yeah, the
that's
fire
another
thing.
Was definitely a stuntman. That's another thing. If you can't take your own bump, and you got to use a stuntman to set somebody on fire? That's a lot of fucking toilet paper you're using to write this shit.
It's a waste of money.
Three months ago, we had a fucking toilet paper crisis.
Yeah. it's a waste of money. And
if
it's
I'm
just
bugging,
like,
please. And people spend $40 on this at the time.
But do you see the trend that we're going with?
Still, dude, like, think about just. I'm sitting here. I just loaded the Choppy's car with my gimmicks, and I came back in, and that match was going on. So I sat down and I rewound a little bit, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? Why am I doing this to myself? I mean, we're doing a due diligence to our fan base because we're following a trend we're doing year by year, 20 years later, which is fine. But like,
this was terrible.
This was fucking dreadful. Like, who does that? I could see if this was like Finley and like if it was a hardcore match like Terry Funk or whatever. But this is Sting and Vampiro. These are world class fucking wrestlers.
Yeah, and they didn't. They don't need the stupid fucking gimmick match. Like, put them in the ring.
Yeah,
and they can have a fucking 10-minute
fucking
match. They don't need no gimmick match.
Right? Oh God, this is fucking terrible.
See, this pay per view makes you angry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of terrible,
just gets even worse.
It gets worse with the world title match.
How does it get worse when you put Sting on fire and then he jumps off the top of the ramp?
I'll tell you how. You turn Goldberg heel.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Nobody wants to see Goldberg
as
heel.
As much as I hate Goldberg, Goldberg should not have been heel.
Absolutely.
Ever. He was your top draw at one point.
I love how they'll turn him heel, and if you watch Nitro the night after, he gets him and Nash fight, but it's like it's just like it's so badly done, and so now at this point with this match, you know, everybody gets involved again, you know, and the monster truck pulls in, Goldberg comes out, he's not driving, right. So Goldberg comes out, Goldberg is supposed to spear, you know, Jarrett, and doesn't, and spears Nash instead. And then Goldberg's like, cover him, and people like go nuts at this point. And Goldberg's wearing fucking black pants, the black shoes, and the fucking button down shitty jersey. Ugh. Those shitty WCW jerseys they used to sell, right? Like, swerve, done. This was almost 18 minutes long, an overbooked Kevin Nash fucking disaster.
Yeah, Kevin Nash, Vince Russo disaster. Right
and here. Here's the thing. They made Kevin, well, not they. Kevin Nash made himself out to be Superman because he was getting hit with everything but the kitchen sink.
10 minutes he laid there for, Choppy. At least 10 minutes he get pelted on. Right? Am I bugging?
No.
Let's go back to what Jay said in the text message today about Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Right? Jay, you said Jeff Jarrett, I didn't get it. And I said, I didn't either, not as world champion.
Yes. I think that's what I was getting at is he was a perfect foil for a good babyface champion. He's believable in the sense that he could probably get the job done. But he, you know, and then Choppy said that the famous.
Well, what did Choppy say? Choppy said, nah, really, Jeff Jarrett? He's a stellar talent. And the immortal of Mike Graham broke 10,000 guitars, didn't draw a dime. He really thought.
Yeah.
Shout out to fucking Ronnie from the Nerd Report checking in with us tonight. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, Ronnie. Yeah.
And
he thought that he was a Tennessee pea brain, that he was bigger than Hulk Hogan. Get the fuck out of here.
You know, and it's just like, it wasn't that, I think it was the landscape. I mean, maybe, I just didn't get, he didn't have that. I liked his persona. I think I liked the badass, quote unquote, Jeff Jarrett. You know, it's better than the tassels or whatever he had. And, you know,
I like the t-shirt
thing. Say again?
I like the t-shirt.
I love the t-shirt. I love the thing, slap nuts.
I like slap nuts. That's in my lexicon. I use it all the time.
You know, and but world champion? No, I you know, and it's talented guy. Definitely knows his way around the business, but just as a top draw in that company at that point, no. TNA. You know, TNA, you can make the argument.
The company, so he made himself the top draw.
But you can make the argument at that time that he was the one of the best there. I mean, obviously they were grooming AJ Styles. It was him being the top guy was for a purpose because it was to put AJ Styles on top, which makes sense to me.
Let me a rule of thumb: most bookers back in the day did book themselves over in the territories.
Correct.
Right? That's not the issue that I have. The issue is when those guys did it, it made sense.
Yeah.
So when Kevin Sullivan was booking the Dungeon of Doom, even though I didn't like it, it made sense. When Dusty was booking Florida and Jim Crockett, it made sense. He made himself world champion, but he put other guys over, like Barry Windham, like Ric Flair. Like, oh, I don't know, Tully Blanchard, Magnum T.A., Nikita Koloff, the Road Warriors. Oh, wait, Ronnie Garvin, who didn't deserve it, but he got one anyway. Dusty Rhodes, right? He got that. And, you know, and then when Patterson was booking for Vince, it was just Hogan and everybody else. And it made sense. It made money until the tides changed. And they brought Lanza in, and they started booking Warrior and Bret Hart and Piper. You know, there's a trend, okay? And when they did it, it went well because it drew money in different parts of the world, and people got over on it. In New Japan, when Jado and Gato get the book, right? Look at the resurgence of New Japan since 2013. If it makes sense and it sells fucking tickets, that's how you do it. If you're Kevin Nash and you have an unlimited fucking bankroll, okay, and you have a ginormous TV company backing your fucking federation, and you have 60 people to a roster with three different shows at the time, Why are you making a fucking mess of this pay-per-view? You know, you're basically and the bleeding story's over to Thunder and Nitro, and then you just incorporate it's like a shit. You know, it's almost like you know when you have the tumbleweed, and the tumbleweed gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it gets yeah. And then we get to the bottom of the hill, it stops because it's too heavy to move. By the time this pay-per-view was over, the shit pile was too heavy to move to a significant finish. You couldn't even finish strong. How many pay-per-views, Jay, you've been on the show now for a couple months now. How many pay-per-views have we covered that we've said, wow, if they would have booked it a little differently, it would have been better to watch because some of the matches were good. You know, you can't lose me as a fan after like the second match, and I paid $35 for this fucking thing.
That's where it gets to. You're insulting the intelligence, and like you said, there's too much going on. There's too much stimulation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's overkill.
It's overkill. Like, just people are tuning in for, I don't want to say a simple wrestling show, but just a you know, your general wrestling show. But at this point, it was such, they were grasping at straws that weren't even there at this point. The you know, WWF is just so far ahead of them. ECW, even at this point, ECW was still number two, and ECW was on its last legs as well.
Chop, I'm sorry, guys, Jay, let me cut you off.
And I was going to say that, and that's kind of what you need to see. This right here is why WCW, I mean, you could point at certain events at what happened, and I always love, you know, like thinking like that, but if you want a time capsule of why WCW ended, you know, how it did and why, is this exact pay-per-view. There's just no continuity at all.
Chop, this would have made more sense to me as looking back at it 20 years later if this was during the Monday Night Wars. I'm not saying it would have made sense in terms of stories and, you know, but if you're gonna throw me 5 pounds of shit in a 2 pound bag, I'd rather have this in 1998 or 97.
Well, it's a hot shot booking in a sense.
Right. But this made no sense. You know?
It's like what you said before. When you get to the second match and you've lost the viewer by the second match, it's just impossible to come back from.
Yeah, go ahead.
They lost me at the first match. The first match was, you know how the opening match is supposed to like get you excited for the rest of the card? When the opening match is fucking awful, how am I supposed to get excited for the rest of the card?
It's like watching one of your sports teams getting destroyed in the first couple of minutes of the game. Like a bad hockey game, your team gives up 4 or 5 goals in the first period, or your baseball pitcher gets shellacked for the first couple of innings and he gets beat. You know what I'm saying? Or your favorite football team gets fucking ran on for the first 2 quarters of the game. And
think of it in the sense of, think of late '80s, Crockett, you know, NWA, whatever, like Baltimore area, monster business.
Sure.
Monster business. And, you know, this would be a good side-by-side discussion. I actually wish I would have thought of it earlier. I wonder what the WWF numbers were at this point compared to WCW.
Speaking of which, let me see what the buy rate was for this thing.
And, like to me, like that would be a good temperature reading of what the business was like in Baltimore. Like, because Baltimore in the late '80s was just booming business. How many Clash of Champions?
It was a hotbed for wrestling, and the place was almost at capacity. So it's like,
and it was 7,000.
So that wasn't my issue. My issue is that, you know, if you're gonna book something like this, and you have all of this fucking talent, you had Hulk Hogan, you had Sting, you had the Steiners, you had Buff Bagwell tomorrow night, the next day. You had Shane Douglas, this Booker T. You got so many fucking talented wrestlers. What was the buy rate, Chop?
Oh boy. Oh.
Got to be a point three.
Point two.
You were close. It was point. Actually, Phil was right. It was point two.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it.
It was bad. It was really, really. It's great. Okay, so Great American Bash did. It was. It was 0.2. It was 0.19.
Wow, almost two. So you know, it's you know, again, I can't stress enough how. Forget about how bad this was. Like, think about and just now that you've seen it, you reviewed it. You know, just terrible fucking booking, man. Just terrible booking, terrible storylines, just awful, awful.
And it's funny because, like you said, how you could it's certain shows you can kind of, you know, change the mold a little bit. Like, oh, this would make this better. There was no making this better. Like, there was nothing that you can make better on this. Short of just setting a bomb to the whole roster and importing new talent.
You know what's essentially amazing? That 200,000 homes bought this pay-per-view. 200,000 homes still bought this pay-per-view. It's insane.
Yeah.
Who the fuck in their right mind would want to buy this shit fest?
Listen, wrestling was still popular, and WCW still had a fan base. Even though they were bleeding, money, they were still making some money too.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on this atrocious fucking pay-per-view before we head out?
I'm just angry.
Yeah, it's okay, buddy. It's over. It's over, pal. We're gonna have a good weekend.
But finally, it's over. It's
over. Really, it's over, Johnny.
Struggle's over.
I really hope Backlash redeems my feelings on wrestling again, because I tell you, man.
Jay, any other thoughts on this?
Nah, you know, like I said, to me, I think I said it before. This was if you ever want to know what's wrong with WCW and why it went down, tune into Great American Bash 2000.
Or don't tune in at all because it's fucking awful.
In about I don't know, 23:11. What time is it now? 11:11. So about 49 minutes from now, my son turns 13.
Happy birthday!
He's a teenager.
Oh,
wow.
And
happy birthday! 13 is a good age.
I know. Wow. I know. The last 2 years of his life, I haven't been around. That's not his fault, obviously. I haven't been around like I wanted to be, but. Michael is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, you know.
Yep.
And he was such a little kid, and he was such a mark for the business. He loves it, and to this day, he turns out to be such a great kid. He's amazing, a good student, loves wrestling, loves all the shit, and I feel responsible. And I don't care. So I know he's listening. I hope he's listening. If not, he's playing fucking Fortnite. But. I'll see him Sunday for his birthday. I'll probably see him a little while tomorrow, hopefully, too. But I want to wish him a happy birthday. And
happy birthday, Hammers.
Happy birthday, Hammer.
Happy birthday, Hammer.
I love you, buddy. We'll see you. I'll see you Sunday for Backlash.
Yep.
And birthday cake. You guys are invited, obviously.
Thank you.
But other than that, we'll be back next week. We have a cool, actually, throwback for you next week, believe it or not. I didn't terribly book this month at all.
Thank God.
I think I redeemed myself after this. just as a disclaimer, though, you know, you can tell me no, you don't want to do it. Like, I throw the ideas at you guys, and you throw me ideas, too. But if I give you something and you tell me no, I'm not going to be mad at it. You know, I'm just kidding.
No. I know you're not going to be mad. But, like, you know what's really frustrating is that Legends of the Ring from 1999 was better than the Bash of the Beach. Great American Bash. I'm sorry.
I understand. I understand.
But it's like what you said before months ago. We have to do shitty pay-per-views sometimes.
Listen, guilty pleasure of mine, I like watching bad wrestling. I really kind of enjoy
this. God, you really are the Deontay of fucking turnbuckle throwbacks.
I love it.
Miss, you're definitely positively Jay, I swear to God.
Positively Jay?
I think that's better than Jax.
Ahmed Jax?
Ahmed Jax.
I like Ahmed Jax, though.
I like positively Jay.
Positively, Jay.
You gotta put a spin on it, bro.
Can someone Photoshop Jay's head on Canyon's body?
Matt Squires, if you're listening, please.
He's definitely listening.
You gotta put a spin on it.
You do. I think it's why people like to listen to us, because we'll do stupid shit like this, you know.
It was
fucking bad, man.
It was bad.
It really was bad.
Has to be top three. Bet worst shows I've ever seen.
We might have to go back to the archives and pull out like the top five worst pay per views we've done, or top ten.
You know what we should do?
We should definitely do
a fantasy booking on refixing these pay per views that we watch.
Oh, that's a task, though.
It is, but
that's a task.
We could do it if we want.
Oh no, we definitely can. We definitely can.
We do a better job than Kevin Nash and Vince Russo did,
and not use toilet paper, by the way. Jay's like, well, maybe I'll use toilet paper.
I will use toilet paper.
No, I have extra loose leaf for you, Jay, if you don't want to use toilet paper.
I have napkins at home, too.
I'm only going to use a marble notebook.
I have a whole box of those notebooks, man. I can fucking take care of you. Don't be a jerk off and waste toilet paper. Don't be one of those people.
Those people.
Let's see what else. All right, so I guess we're done for the week. Anything else? Any final thoughts before we head out? Nothing?
I'm definitely buying that Kenny Omega action figure and the Young Bucks action figure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely.
Yeah.
They do look badass.
Yeah, you can pre-order them now on the wrestling figure site.
And I'm definitely getting Naito.
Definitely. You guys all know the social media handles. We're on Facebook. We're on Patreon. We're on Pro Wrestling Tees. Buy a shirt. Give us some money. Help us out. We appreciate it. Anniversary show is next month. 8 years. We're going to have some fun.
Can't wait.
We're moving right along. Hopefully, we'll be together soon. Hopefully. If not, we'll be doing this stupid shit still with the Skype gimmick. And not Skype. What it was called? Zoom.
Would it be on Zooms?
Zooms. Anyway.
Zooms.
All right. Say goodnight, Gracie. We're out of here.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.